Is racism hurting you? On issues of race, are you unable to speak, think, and act with clarity and confidence? Are you tired of laughing when nothing is funny, smiling when you are not happy, agreeing when you really disagree? CounterRacism.com, you can learn specific strategies and techniques to counter the behaviors of the people who practice racism in all areas of activity. Using words correctly, following counter-racist logic, even counter-racist science projects designed to reveal what racism is, how it works, and how to counter it. The open source code writing format allows you to pick and choose from a variety of counter-racist suggestions so you can produce the code that works for you. Stop by counterracism.com today and help replace racism with justice.
That's counter-racism.com.
Real problem is this, James. In 2 decades, there will be 7 billion human beings on this planet. Most of them brown, yellow, or black. All of them hungry. All of them determined to love. Swarm out of their breeding grounds into Europe and North America. Hence Vietnam. An all-out effort there will give us control of South Asia for decades to come. And with proper planning, we can reduce the population to 550 million by the end of the century. I know. I've seen the data.
We sound rather like gods reading the Doomsday Book, don't we?
Well, someone has to do it. Not only will the nations affected be better off, but the techniques developed there can be used to reduce our own excess population. Blacks, Puerto Ricans, Mexican Americans, poverty-prone whites, and so forth.
Context of white supremacy, Gus T. Renegade, and Justice in for another program to share constructive information on racism, white supremacy. The sound clip that you just heard, Dr. Kamau Kamban, when he was on the program just a few weeks back, one of the films that he shared, Executive Action, came out in 1973. He recommended that black folks check that film out and take notes. That sound clip that you just heard, that is from Executive Action. I thought it was revealing for many reasons. I hope people caught. They said the breeding grounds for non-white people. Real interesting. And in a 1973 film, Burt Lancaster, Robert Ryan, Will Gear. It's available online. Very interesting film. I would recommend checking it out. It's about the assassination of JFK and how some most likely very powerful racists orchestrated his murder to maintain and refine the system of white supremacy. You heard the sound clip previously. Before we get started with our guest for this evening's program, I wanted to answer a question of a listener really quick and hop in. I will be quick. The listener asked, under the global system of white supremacy, is there such a thing as constructive criticism? He has constructive in quotes and global in quotes. Is there such a thing as constructive criticism for victims, non-white people who suffer from retardation, mental illness? The short answer, yes. We went in depth about this a while ago. However you define, you know, whatever that term is, constructive criticism, however you define that or what have you, I would say yes, such a thing does exist. The mechanics of how to go about administering constructive criticism, that is something else entirely. If so, his further question, if so, how is it constructive, in quotes, to criticize the retarded and or mentally ill? I would say the constructive way to do this, the end result would be that you have not had conflict between non-white people and that whatever is happening that should not be happening has ceased, Or if you're looking to correct behavior, if a non-white person is not doing something that they should be doing, if they, you know, have begun to change their behavior and do those things, then I would say you've also had a constructive result. So that's the way, whatever constructive criticism, that's the way that I would judge it. The end result, you did not have conflict between non-white people, and whatever you were trying to correct with regards with behavior, the end result, the behavior has been changed. That would be constructive criticism. And if you want an example, the example that I will give quickly, there was a non-white person who took a photograph with another white person, with a white person, suspected racist, and another non-white female. The white person had a T-shirt on that read, "Sit down and learn from the master." And he was winking at the camera. He had his arms around these two non-white females in a bar. The height of incorrect behavior, in my opinion, and I commented on this on the last program. Now, I did not comment on the program to criticize that person directly, even though I could have very easily done that. I could have called this person and chewed them out or said whatever I wanted to them directly. What I wanted to do was to point this out for listeners, non-white people. In my opinion, it is extraordinarily incorrect and confusing for non-white people who are alleged to be informed about racism, white supremacy. You understand that the system exists. You talk about it. You share information about it. It is very confusing for these individuals to then go out and be having frivolous contact with white people, particularly if you understand and assert that it is true that non-white people should be at minimum suspicious of all white people as long as white supremacy exists. If you think that's true and then you're out, you know, fraternizing with white people, having fun, I think it's very confusing. It sends the wrong message. And I want to be very sure, I want to make sure I'm explicit in saying I think it is totally incorrect. I think it is confusing for non-white people to hear you talking about white supremacy and then out with another white person at a bar having fun. It's confused. I mean, it's just, it's sending a terrible message. Even if it was just the one other non-white person in the photograph, it's sending a terrible message to non-white people to say, on the one hand, we're at war, global system of terrorism against non-white people, and then to come back on the other hand, oh, I was just having fun. Again, I'm not trying to chew out this person specifically. I'm sharing this with the hope that people who are hearing this will think twice about the way they conduct themselves with white people, because I'm very much about changing the behavior of people who listen to this program. I'm not interested in friends. I'll say it again. I was not a nice person to begin with. I have been intensely victimized. And at the end of the day, I don't really care if anyone is upset, if you feel like, oh, man, he's picking on that poor victim. If that's the way you feel, no problem. You don't have to listen to the program. In fact, I would prefer that you did not listen, because I want to be very clear about setting a tone that we are at war. And I do not think it is acceptable under any circumstances. If you're informed about racism, I think, what is it they say? If you know better, you should do better. If you get this information, it shouldn't just be entertainment. It shouldn't just be, oh, this is a fun show. I like listening to Gus. He's kind of nutty. I get the information, and then I'm out to hang out with my racist friends at the bar. I would prefer to quit my program than to have that happen. So in that spirit, I hope the result of all this is not that people take it as Gus trying to diss another confused person. I hope people, number one, realize all of this is about changing the behavior pattern of people who listen to the program. And if even one person listening to this hears this, is informed about white supremacy, and decides, hey, I'm really going to make sure I'm not slipping. I don't care. I understand we got to go to work and everything, but on my free time, I'm going to make sure I'm not hanging out with white people. He's right. I should be on my job. I don't take vacations from being informed and codified with regards to how I function under a system of white supremacy, because racist man and racist woman, they don't take breaks. So as under codification, I'm not going to take breaks either. I'm not holding myself or any other non-white person to a standard that I wouldn't hold myself to. And just so we can be real clear, and then I'll get to the guests because I know people didn't tune in to hear Gus. But to be very clear, if my mom was hanging out with a white person, I would diss my mom too. This is war. Dr. Cambon, I believe the sound clip that we are known for playing here at the context of white supremacy.
Our people are very serious about not being very serious. Meanwhile, white people are very serious about playing hardball against us. And this hardball is called genocide.
I'll say that one more time. I would diss my mom if she was hanging out with white people, particularly if she knew about white supremacy, if she was informed. I would diss my mom. This is war, and that's not the message I intend to send at all. And if you ever get wind of Gus not sticking to this, you all should be dissing Gus. I'm holding myself to the same standard. It's war, and let's be serious about this. We should not be dealing with white people and white supremacy for another 20 years because we're not serious about our effort to replace white supremacy with justice as soon as possible. And if you are not in tune with that message, thank you for listening. You do not have to check out the program. I'm sure you can invest your time and energy in a more constructive manner. Thank you. Our guest for today's program, he is about to release his 40th book. Talk about a constructive use of time and energy. If you are in the New York City area, this Sunday, March 13th, 2011, he will be releasing the title of his 40th book, The Autumn Equinox of 2012. Very interesting book. He's going to give us information this evening about the book. We're also going to make sure that you get all the information so that you can attend this event. I will give out the location right now. It will be at the Cultural Performing Arts Center, CPAC. The address is 1020 E as in East 48th Street. Again, that's 1020 E as in East 48th Street. It's at Farragut Road, and that's Farragut Road. It's two blocks from Utica Avenue in Brooklyn. Again, that is this Sunday, March 13th, 2011. Should be fantastic. We'll give out more information as we roll with the program. Our guest, you can support his material, pick up copies of his books. His website is 2012stores.com, 2012stores.com. Please support his efforts. Joining us for the second time on the context of white supremacy, Brother Polite. Brother Polite, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Peace, brother.
Peace. Outstanding. Thank you for taking some time. And I want to apologize. I normally do not have any messages or anything to share at the beginning of program. So my apologies for taking up a few minutes to get my own word out. But that was very important. Just, you know, this is the context of white supremacy. And I wanted to make sure people know how seriously I take this. And my apologies for taking up some of your time, sir.
I don't want to be on your bad side, brother. Don't apologize to me. I enjoyed it.
Right on. Kindred spirit, I appreciate it. For folks who maybe if they missed out the first time that you came through and shared some of your wisdom with us, if you could just give some background information, if you want to tell some of the other books that you've authored as well, that would be great.
All right. Basically, I'm age 27, fluent in 7 languages, author of 40 books, coming out with the release of my 40th book this weekend, this Sunday, March 13th, doors are going to open at 1 o'clock. You come in early, you can get a free solo numerology reading or even a picture of your taking. It's going to be at CPAC, Cultural Performing Arts Center, 10, 1020 East 48th Street at Farragut Road. 1020 East 48th Street at Farragut Road, CPAC, Cultural Performing Arts Center. Doors are open at 1 o'clock. We have Africa Bambaataa that's going to be present, Queen of Four, doing her womb dance. Dave Hanson, the fifth generational descendant of John Hanson, the first black president that appointed George Washington, because we had the Continental Congress, then we had the Articles of Confederation, then we had the Constitution. They started counting pale people, starting from one, at the appointment of George Washington. There was no elections. The commander-in-chief was just that. The commander-in-chief was the one who would lead you into war. It wasn't like this day and time where he could make a phone call and send some brothers and sisters out there that's just trying to get a college degree, feel like they're going to die in the Bloods and Crips anyway, so might as well join the white man's gang, and in addition to that, be able to get a free education, so to speak. So we had, back then, he was appointed by the true commander-in-chief, the previous general. So John Hanson was the previous general. He was George Washington's successor, and he appointed George Washington to post, and from there forward, they changed or transitioned from the Articles of Confederation, which was their underlying theme for government, into the Constitution. And from there, they started counting for number one. So we actually have the fifth generational descendant of the brother that you will see on back of the $2 bill named John Hanson. He's the only dark one on back of a $2 bill. His name is John Hanson. He was the first black president, and he appointed George Washington. Again, we're not trying to take away from Obama for whatever that's worth. But this is a reality. We're not coming with sensationalism, and we come in with living history. We're not coming in with a textbook. I'm not going to be putting up this man on a 30-foot screen on projector. He's going to be alive. He's going to be on stage, and he's going to talk about the prominency, the expedience of knowing your descendancy, knowing exactly where you come from. His name is Dave Hanson. He's a fifth-generational descendant of John Hanson. He'll be there. And we also have Lloyd Strayhorn, world's leading astronumerologist. This brother is off the chain. He's been on Oprah Winfrey, for what it's worth, and all major syndicated TV shows and radio shows, for the most part, throughout the states. And he sold over 1 million copies of his book, Numbers in You. He's going to be there that day. And, of course, I'm going to be doing a dissertation on the autumnal equinox of 2012. Again, I'm a former Crip Superior. And I transitioned and coming into consciousness, I'm coming across great and brilliant brother's book by the name of H.E. Dr. Melacock, will be in New York, who's the author of over 400 books, the author of over 400 books of fluid in 19 languages. I came across one of his books called The Mind Book, then after that, The Potential Book, then after that, The Sacred Wisdom of Tahuti. After The Sacred Wisdom of Tahuti, the Was Jesus Found in Egypt? And Let's Set the Record Straight. Actually, in the book, Let's Set the Record Straight, is the book where I first found out about the first black president, John Hanson. That's the book where I actually came across the information 7 years ago. And then today, to be neck and neck and working with the brother, Dave Hanson, who's the fifth generational descendant of John Hanson, that brings the information to life. So that's it in the synopsis. And again, I'm releasing my 40th book. It's entitled, same thing as the event or the lecture this Sunday, March 13th, the autumnal equinox of 2012, reactivation of the 22-strand DNA, establishing the pH of language. Yes, language can be either acidic or it can be alkaline. So that's what we're going to be going into this Sunday. Just a little briefing, debrief on who and what I am.
Okay. Do we have contact information? Like, is there a number folks can dial if they want more information about the event this Sunday?
Yes, they can actually call 347-600-7066. That's my office line for any information or details about the event. It's a King Simon production. That brother's brilliant. He's great. My manager slash producer, he's a great brother, man, and real close friend. And he grew up in the community that Dr. York had erected when it was known as the SRO Law community. And he's going to definitely obviously be there as he brings me up before I teach. And you can also check out the website, www.2012stores.com, to purchase any one of my 30-plus books, releasing the 40th one this Sunday. And you can also go to www.2012res.com. to purchase tickets in advance. You can also go to the other site as well, but that one is very much more clear. You can hit the Ticketmaster's button after you click the events link. So you go to 2012res.com and hit the events link, and you'll be able to purchase tickets in advance. And that's it in a nutshell. Those are the contacts. You also hit me at Amun, Amun hyphen R-E at 2012res.com. And that's my email. for anybody that's interested in contacting me after the show.
Outstanding. I will request that information one more time, or several more times before the program concludes. As far as the event this Sunday, March 13th, can you give us a little bit more information specifically about language? Because we pay a lot of attention to that, and we are always looking for suggestions on ways that non-white people can be better at communicating and more efficient. So we would definitely love more input on that.
Well, this is the thing, language. This is one of the main things I have to stress to people. When we're talking about the Caucasoid species, we have to understand, and this is not racism. This is, and as far as what people term or deem racism as, of course, there's different elements of racism, let me say. For starters, I don't feel black people could be racist in terms of being racist in the same capacity as the Caucasian species as a whole. Like, you look at the black people as a whole, and then you look at the Caucasian people as a whole, I don't feel we can be racist in the same capacity. Therefore, I don't feel we can be racist in one perspective. What I mean by that is, when you look at Caucasian racism, they can be racist in the capacity where they can have a whole community deprived. They decide what that community is going to learn from the time they're in pre-K to the time they go to college. They decide who's going to run the black college, who's going to run the charter school. So we find to be racist, you have to have some economical backing. Now, it's not to say that black folks don't got money or don't have the potential to make money. What I'm saying is, when we're looking at racism, if we look at it from an economical perspective, a lot of us do not have the ability to be racist. A lot of us can't even effectively apply the concept or the fundamentals of racism, because it takes a great deal of money, security, influence, and media propaganda to be racist. So we can be, but we are not in the best position to be racist. When we backlash, when they pick up flack from us as a community, that's because we are victims of circumstance. I'm going to language with Caucasians. Well, I want to say there's another perspective about racism that a lot of us should consider, and that's the fact that we cannot be as racist or racist in the same capacity as the Caucasoid, for he has the media propaganda on his side. He has law enforcement on his side. And, of course, he has education, the educational system on his side. He has the medical institution on his side. He has the Food and Drug Administration on his side. So, yes, 50 Cent Sodas is a part of racism, if you ask me, because I don't see 50 Cent Sodas inside the white community. I think 50 Cent Sodas is a very racist tactic. I think it's unfair, and I think they're evil for putting 50 Cent Sodas in our community. Now, some people would say, but we have the right as black people to make sure that that doesn't go in there. But no, after you drugged us up off of the 50 Cent Sodas after some time, we may not know we have the right. We may be drugged up from the gummy bears, from the Swedish fish, from the hot tamales, from the canned foods, from the 40 ounces, from the Smirnoff Ice, from the Budweiser, from everything that they plant in our community. From the nails, that when people are doing the girls' fingernails and they're getting their hair did, the people that's doing these things to our women are not of our race, but they have to wear masks because it can kill them. But the people of our race, because they're drugged up on 50 Cent Sodas, yet to realize that these people are wearing masks when they're doing their hair. When they're getting their hair done or their hair did, you see, that's the end result of drinking too much 50 Cent Soda. People who drink too much 50 Cent Soda say they get their hair did. People who drink, like, fruit blends say they get their hair done. There's a difference. You see, so we are victims of racism. So we have to be able to say, when a person says Christopher Columbus discovered America, when a person has their child dressed up like Abraham Lincoln, who hated black people, and he made it clear in his speeches, and I got it in my book, Conflict and Genes, Neutral Noise and Genocide. I excerpted his speeches, and I showed black children dressing up like Abe Lincoln. Because Obama says Abe Lincoln is his favorite president. That's very annoying to me. But it's okay. It happens. Maybe he's poorly educated. Maybe he doesn't know better than what he's saying. Maybe. I don't know. But the point is this. That's a huge element of racism.
I wanted to ask real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My apologies for interrupting. I just wanted to ask really quick.
Nah, you got the spirit, brother. Go ahead.
If you think it's possible that powerful white people could have told President Obama, go out there and make sure you tell them that President Lincoln is your favorite president. Do you think that's possible?
I believe that's true, because that would tie into what I identify as racism. That's them employing racism on a whole nother level. You see, I believe that's true. A lot of people think racism is get a club hit over your head. No, that's a white person that needs anger management classes. I don't associate that to racism. I associate that to post-racism disorder. I associate that to just plain ignorance. I associate that to a whole lot of things, because truth be told, you have black cops part of these shootings too. I don't really associate that to racism. I know conveniently we ignore the black cops that are under the influence, okay, of white man's racism. Okay, I understand that. However, what I'm saying is we got to take racism out the fold. A lot of people think they're not the subject of racism since they haven't been beat up by the police or since they haven't been gunned down, okay, or they haven't been turned down by a job. No, we have to see racism for what it is. It is an institution, okay, whether it's the medical institution or the educational institution or the Food and Drug Administration. This is how we got to see racism. We have to see how they effectively employ racism and then how it filters down and affects us as a community. Then you see white cops shooting black people. Well, I would say if I was white and I came into the black community, and in my community, first of all, the rooftops are slope, so you're not going to find white children on top of their rooftops like that because they slope. In the hood, we be in the projects, we go up top on the roof. So the white man comes up there and he shoots in fear. Not because he's racist. He don't understand niggas. Why are black people on top of the roof? Our children don't be on top of the roof, but that's because your roof looks like a triangle, white man. Our roof is a box. We don't got the feng shui thing going on in our community. Everything's a square. The energy is trapped in. It's a prism or it's a prison. So we don't got the feng shui thing going on. We don't gradually turn our lights on in the community because that's more conducive to our pituitary and pineal gland. No, in our community, light on, light off. You get a big headache when it come on, you cool the headache off when you turn it off. We don't have gradual lights going in. We don't have the curves around the corners to keep the energy flowing. We don't have it whereas we can't really sit on our roofs because our roofs are all these different dynamics in terms of shape. No, so what I have to credit that to is more ignorance and fear of the unknown, because guess what? White people are also a part of racism. They are also victims of racism. Because a white person will go up there and shoot a black person because of racism. But not because they're trying to employ racism, but because they're also victims of it too. I'm going to show you where white people are victims of racism. You got white people actually going around saying they're more superior than black people. Where they get that information from? They're victims of racism. Because they actually believe it's true. You see, it's supposed to be that white people know that they're lying. Then we call them racist. When white people don't know they're living a lie as well, they're victims of racism too. We got to see it very differently. See, if they knew the truth, a lot of them wouldn't be acting as crazy as they act. Some of them found out the truth, and their insecurity said, we got to perpetuate these lies. We got to keep these lies going. So what we going to do, we're going to have black men who have no money sexually exploit their women on TV every chance we get. Because if we know that the Jebusites or the pale Jews run pretty much 98% of the media, then we know 98% of what I see on TV doesn't look nothing like Judaism. Aren't y'all so holy that you need to, excuse me, polite, can you turn the lights off in my house? Because they're celebrating something. I walked out of the box, excuse me, can you turn the lights down in my house? Okay, so you mad religious. You submerging your religion. But y'all control the media. How come all this pimp and whole stuff is on TV if y'all all Jews? See, that's racism. That is racism. Because you are purposely projecting an image that is false to indoctrinate not just black people, but every people in the world about black people. So when people encounter us, they don't know how to deal with us. That is racism. We don't have that capacity to mess with millions of people's minds and have everybody in the world thinking that your woman is a hoe. We don't got that capacity. Because as much as black people don't want to see themselves like that, you can find plenty of others that don't mind selling their soul just to make some money, to be the only one that came out the hood. So eventually, we just think this is the mentality and the temperament of most brothers in the community. They don't respect their women. We'll even say, damn, black men, man, they just put their women out there. Well, no, no, that's not black men. That's a generalization that is birthed as an end result of racism, as they use the media as a medium to get their point across, to get their propaganda across. So this is why I'm like, listen, everybody has been victimized by this racism. Only a small group of people really know what's really going on. Only a small group of people. Well, white people are just as fooled as black people. I once got stuck somewhere in Pennsylvania, and we're going to go into this Autumn Equinox stuff, and we're going to go into the language stuff for white folks too, because I ain't forget, I got sharp memory for stuff like that. But I once got stuck in Pennsylvania, and after being a Crip Superior, I can honestly say this happened 3 years ago. And I'm thinking, you know, I know about Philadelphia and everything. I ain't going to lie to you. I experienced fear for the first time in my life. I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I've been sliced. I met my mother when I turned 17. She died the week I met her. My father left me at age 8. My grandmother was my mother, and she died shortly after my mother died, my biological mother died. Needless to say, I had a rough life. I've been locked up for some of the worst things you could imagine. No pedophilia stuff. Let me not say that. Let me just say murder, because I don't want people to start throwing anything next to me. You know what I'm saying? And free, okay, innocent, fully exonerated. Let me also say that. But the point is, I've been locked up for hustling, okay? I've been locked up for a lot of stuff in my life, for gangbanging. And with all the things I've been through, of all the places I've gone, with every bullet I've ever taken, with any slice I've ever been given, which I still have the scars on my body to this very day, I've never experienced fear in my life until I got stuck in Pennsylvania, a place where it was no black man's land. I literally had white people walk up to me and ask me what team I play for. You think this is a joke. You watch it on TV and say, ha, 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 that's funny. No, you got some people that only reason they heard black people are alive and they exist is because they watch TV.
What year was this?
This was 3 years ago.
Wow.
3 years ago, I went to Pennsylvania. I was asking people for a cell phone. My truck had actually broke down. And we went to a mechanic, and you had white folk tell us, the mechanic say, listen, if I was y'all, I'd get out of here as soon as possible. I actually had a white man from a Kmart, and my family can attest to it, and they in this house listening to me right now. We remember this. White man gave me $200 in fear that either the skinheads or the Aryan Nation, he actually pointed out, look, those ones, they got beef with each other about how to kill black people. They don't like each other based on their standpoint on how to destroy a nigga. He was so scared, he gave me $200 and said, just get the hell out of here. I was trying to get a money grant in Western Union. He gave me $200. He was in fear. And when I was there, I said to myself, when I was asking for a cell phone, you had people come up to me and my brother and say, you can't do this in our community. And he said, what the hell are they talking about? Security came out of Kmart. Listen, we're going to have to call the cops. Y'all keep staying out here begging. We said, okay, stop with the jokes now. We thinking this is a joke. We thinking, listen, these people, I've been called a basketball player. I've been called a panhandler. I'm just trying to ask for somebody, may I use their phone? But you see, I'm from New York, from La Hood. So you see white people here and there. Most times you see white people, they're the rejects of their community when you see them amongst our community. But now you see white people, you know, uh-oh. They must be foreclosing on black people's homes because they moving in. I'm like, when I see white people move in the community, I tend to move out because I know that's the next place that's going to be bombed. Anywhere they go, disease seems to happen, famine seems to happen, bombs seem to happen. So I'd be like, listen, when you see them coming in, don't fight to keep your house. Get the hell away from them. Get out. Wherever they go, trouble seems to find them. This is the reality. They'll soon bomb the project. When they turn the projects into condos for white people, them shit's going to get bombed. I can guarantee anywhere white people go, these issues be happening. We be having to worry about the little stray bullet that gets shot in the middle of a club scene in our black community. And we got to fix that problem. But we ain't never had to worry about nobody dropping no bomb on our heads in the whole community. That is white folks' problems. We need to stay the hell away from them so they can just deal with their shit. What they try to do is be slick and hide amongst black people because they know bombs don't be going down in the hood. So So they're like, no, keep some of them in there. They keep this energy where bombs don't fall on their head. White people got an energy where bombs must fall on their head. Chinese people got an energy where bombs must fall on their head. They got this energy. And we got an energy where we always get subjected to famine when we get around these people. But we still ain't learning historically. Whenever they come around, people become sick. People give up their culture. Children start disrespecting their parents. People start being rapidly homosexual. We don't realize everywhere he goes, this problem happens. Now, someone would say, are you saying all white people responsible for this? I would say no. I'm just saying that everywhere I see white people go, I see these things happening. I'm not going to tell you it's any one white person. I'm just saying any one of us could bear witness that when white people wind up in a community they wasn't in, the community becomes homosexual. This is true. I've never seen gay people in Brownsville Project until I start seeing white people moving in the neighborhood. Suddenly, people just start swaying and shaking their hips. Women got mustaches. I ain't never seen no shit like this prior. But when white people move into the community, all of a sudden, everyone's gay. I've never seen it. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying it's all white people because I'm not an ignorant person. I'm just going to say whenever I see white people, this seems to happen. Maybe it's some kind of entity. Maybe it's magnetism. Maybe it's all white people. I don't know for fact. I just know when I see them, I got to get the opposite direction. I got to go in the opposite direction when I see them coming around me.
What would you say? What would you say to people who would say, well, look here, Brother Polite, in Atlanta, there are lots of black people and you have, you know, gigantic so-called homosexual black communities where you don't really see white people and you got a lot of so-called homosexual black males. What would your response to that be?
My response to that, again, is racism. Why? Because, again, part of racism is to destroy the people's food, the integrity of the people's food. A lot of people are gay because of the food. Now, some people are gay because they just gay, man. And that's another situation. Well, most of our people are gay not because they just gay. Like, if people pay attention to the last 10 years, 10 years ago, we didn't have this gay crisis going on in the community. That should be the first sign that something is suspect. That should be the first question. You was alive 10 years ago, my brother. I was alive 10 years ago. I know you're not ignorant. You don't sound like the other people ranting and raving and coming off crazy where I wouldn't even listen to them and give them time of day to talk about white supremacy because they're fanatics and they're nuts. You don't come off as nuts to me. You come off as an intellectual to me. You hear me speak. You know I'm not into all that craziness and that biased talk. But we both have to be honest. 10 years ago, we did not see all this homosexuality like this. We noticed. It seemed like one day I walked outside and pants were below the buttocks. Men were holding men, and women were kissing women. It seems like overnight this thing just seemed to happen. Now, if I start talking about heart waves and I start talking about extremely low frequencies, okay, then people are going to say, look, that's too scientific. If I start talking about the food, then people say that's too holistic. If I start talking about the media propaganda, they say you're just being biased. So after a while, I just say, look, black folk, if you don't want to listen to none of this information, then you should jump off a roof and kill yourself before a white man do, because it's going to happen. Like, you can't just be blind. You got to see that it's a concerted effort to distract us and detour us. You got to see this. You can't be here alive in the last 10 years and tell me you don't see a significant change in the food. You don't see a significant change in the media. It just so happened the more they allow the gay activity in the media, more people become gay in the community. It just so happened. For real. It just so happened the food is changing and they're making laws. S.51, they made the law where you're not even allowed to grow your own food or sell your own food or trade your own food. Why? So they can control all the food business now? But you think it's just about money. No, they want to be able to compromise you. Because guess what? If your oppressor feeds you, your oppressor can destroy you. If my oppressor feeds me and I got to rely on my oppressor to feed me, I'm done for it. I can say all this black power stuff all I want. If I can't grow my own food, it's a wrap. This is reality. So, you know, for people that just are naysayers and they're doubters, that's not even an argument I could really take up with them. Because I would have to say, have you been alive for the last 10 years? Because if you've been alive for the last 10 years, something should come across your mind like, this is not natural. This is not normal. I haven't seen this before. In fact, if you was alive for the last 5 years, something should be up. You should say, the gig is up. Hold on, I know they're doing something to us. There got to be some kind of waves. Got to be some kind of frequencies. It got to be the media propaganda. It got to be the food. It can't just be people woke up and decided, I need a man in my life. It can't happen. You just don't wake up like that. It just don't happen overnight like that. Sorry. Very few people are born homosexual. You know why we know this? Because we wouldn't have got this far as a community if this shit was popular. we would not be this far. We'd have been extinct right now. Or everyone would be kidnapping people's children. Okay, they'd be kidnapping straight people's children because they can't have none themselves. A lot of this stuff would be going on. A lot of this stuff would be going on. Sperm banks would have to be bigger. I mean, a lot of this would be going on. And this would be the fall of society if this was natural. This would be the fall.
What would you say to
man?
What would you say to folks who would say, well, it's always been a part of human history to have a small segment of the population that is so-called homosexual, like 10% or, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10%. It's always been about a 10% of the population has been so-called homosexual. What would your response to that be?
Well, hold on. See, this people are always looking for loopholes. This is why I said I really don't – the only reason I'm addressing it now is because it's been brought up by an intellectual. Outside of that, I wouldn't even address this to certain people. But you know why? People just love the white man. Like, there's one thing Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that if I ain't like nothing, he said, I love this thing. He said, you love the devil because he gives you nothing. And I said, what kind of stupid comment is that? But every day I find black people that love people who do nothing for them. And people that have something for them, they reject them. And it curses them. You know why? Because there's something that Dr. York said. He said, responsibility deals with your ability to respond. So when you tell people critical information, but they can conclusively decide what they should do with themselves and their life and how they should protect their family and themselves, they are in fear of the responsibility. They are in fear of responding to their ability, because with responding to your ability, that's a burden of obligation. So they would rather deal with the person, the party goer, the person that says, you're only having sex 3 times a week? You need to have it 9 times. What the hell are you having sex 9 times? You can't even afford to have one more baby. Why are you having that much sex? Did you realize the person teaching you this has more money than you? Duh. So people tell you, yo, white man got these polygamy shows. He said that, polite, all your wives are supposed to live in different houses. That's because the white man that's teaching that has multiple houses. He has millions of dollars. Unfortunately, polite don't have millions of dollars. We're going to live together in one house. You see, this works to the convenience of the oppressor. Okay, white man says, shave. Use this Gillette and use that razor on your face. 2 days later, I look like Mr. Grumpy. You know why? I didn't realize that this commercial was aimed towards white people. I was not supposed to use that mechanism on my face because I'm not white. I have kinky hair. I have nappy hair, the same nappy hair that the nappy-headed hoes have that Imus was talking about. So when you use that razor on my face, I'm a sprout. I didn't realize when I watched the commercial that there was no black people in the commercial. So this product was pitched towards white people, and I was a victim of circumstance because of the media, because I thought it didn't matter. I think when they show me medication and everything on TV and hair products, that this is really for me, despite the fact there ain't no black people on that channel. You see, so we got to start thinking. So when people say, well, you know, 5% of the population is homosexual, and this, that is not homosexual, and you know, homosexuality is normal. Some niggas say homosexuality is part of duality. I said, that's a tri-reality, first of all. You just sound crazy. Listen. That shit is not normal. I'm not even going to even try to entertain it intellectually. If you want an intellectual answer, you can buy my book, 3 Post-Shifts. But what I will say about that is if you can't see that there's a Velvet Crew out, if you can't see there's a Purple Gang out, if you can't see that there's a concerted effort to make everyone gay that's black and is on TV, if you can't see every man has to dress and put on a dress, if you can't see that every Will Smith, when you just start looking up to him saying, thank goodness we got a positive brother out there. He's having sex with white men? Shit. You couldn't just be gay with a black man. You had to go out the race and still be gay. That's just double hell. This nigga's not only messing with a man, he's messing with a white man. So now he's participating in miscegenation, and he's a homosexual at the same time. They are just getting too ridiculous with this. Okay, Chris Tucker got to be in development, and he got to wear a dress, and he got to walk with a bounce. Martin Lawrence got to come out with another Big Mama's House too. Okay, this is crazy. I had a youngin tell me, yo, let's go watch Big Mama's House. I said, I don't feel like watching no homosexual shit. I don't want to watch a man and his son wear a dress for over 2 hours in a dark room. Hell no, and eating popcorn. That shit subtly is converting me into homosexuality. No, gay people are funny. You watch Will and Grace. So then I start associating funniness and happiness with homosexuality, and they start subtly converting me. No, someone would say, well, Polite, I think you're insecure about your sexuality. You're damn right. If I'm straight, I ain't got no business watching no homosexual shit. That's how I feel about the situation. It's conditioning. It is, if you keep watching drug dealing scenes with black people in it, eventually your perception of black people are that they're drug dealers. It's true. So if I keep watching homosexual shows, eventually I loosen up to the idea. Then they got your children in school. And guess what they tell you? They say your children got to learn about alternative lifestyles. What's the first? Are they teaching your children polygyny? No, polygyny is against the law. But you can marry same-sex couples in America. And then you're going to tell me that there's no conspiracy to get everybody to turn gay? And then people misconstrue me. I'm not saying go out there and attack people because they're sexual preference. I don't believe that's true. What I say is I got a problem that gay has become a race. Gay has become a race in our community. I know we're digressing, but these issues are really serious. This shit got me bent in my frustration. Gay has become a race, and gay people got more rights than black people, and I'm mad at black gays particularly because them niggas found a way to fight for rights for gay people as if they're a race before they fought for the rights for our people. Something is sick about that. They got more rights than black people got. Like, they, I swear it's a race. Jews and gays have become a race in America. And Judaism is a religion. And somehow they flipped the switch on us and they become a race. Homosexuality has become a race. Homosexual is now a race. You can check it off if you're black, if you're white, or you're homosexual. You can actually check the shit off like it's a race. Something's wrong with that. Something is wrong with it. We're sitting here as a people making all these excuses but not saying there is a concerted effort to make us become homosexual. Well, that's not the biggest problem about it. The biggest problem I have with the effort being put out there to become homosexual is, hold on, what about homosexuality that makes our government want us to be homosexual but works against us if we're polygynous? I've got to figure out, why did they outlaw polygyny but they condone homosexuality? Does that mean that this is not healthy for us? Because they have a tendency to support that which isn't healthy for us. Like, smoking marijuana is more healthier, and I don't smoke marijuana, but smoking marijuana is more healthier than smoking cigarettes. But cigarettes are legal. And marijuana is illegal. I start wondering. Hold on. I got to figure this thing out. Because it seems like whenever they do support something, they advocate something to this capacity, it normally don't work to the benefit of the people. The people are never really the benefactors. So I start really thinking, it's not so much homosexuality stuff, which makes me uncomfortable, but it's not so much that. That's people's sexual preference, fine. What I want to know is, why do they want us to be homosexual? Now I'm starting to think there's some kind of health complications or implications. We know they got some scientists up in there. We know America don't produce scientists. They always drop pick them from other countries. Somebody is studying something, and somebody says, if you really want to bring these people down, turn them into homosexuals. That's what I think. Because, look, we're already losing in black men. Our black men are incarcerated. Our black men are crazy as hell. Our black men are getting high. Our black men are in gangs. Our black men are suicidal. Our black men are depressed. Now our black men are homosexual. So who do the black women have now in the community? Well, good old white man that can give her a job, give her Section 8, give her welfare, give her every solve her problem, give her Jesus, he's white. White employer, your white teacher when you go to school, she could turn her back on her whole community. That's racism. That's racism. See, people ain't understanding what racism is. This shit is more intricate than getting beat in your head with a club and saying, yo, racism still exists. And they little corny commercials and stuff on TV. Nah, this is deeper than that. It's a step-by-step plot. They've been working on this for years. They worked on it. They even decided when they was going to purportedly free us as a people. And that's when the shackleman really started. They really sat there and figured this out. And that's why I said, man, one thing you got to stop doing is calling this white man stupid. Because he's far from stupid. He's the most subtle beast in the field. He's the most intelligently deceiving and conniving. Just
wow.
When you thought he was going to let
you repeat
this stuff
that?
Go. He's the
Could
most intelligently deceiving and conniving. The worst thing you can do, just like we were taught in the black conscious community, the worst thing you could think is that the devil don't walk around amongst you in physical flesh. The worst thing you could think is that this beast is not intelligent. He's the most intelligent beast in the field. I'm not telling you go gun him down. I'm saying he already prepared a plan for when you're ready to gun him down. You got to start making step-by-step plans, too. You can't just make one plan. Plan A, get a gun. Plan B, shoot. You got to stop thinking like that. Because he sat there, and he said, no, first we're going to study them. We're going to intermingle with them. We're going to become part of the culture. What does he do? He sees a group of Moors. He has sex with the women. And he says, I'm a Moor, too. He sees a group of Native Americans, and he comes in. I'm part Taino, too. He comes in. He sees some Haitians. He says, I'm part Haitian, too. In fact, I'm part Haitian. I'm part Taino. I'm part Moor. He's a damn chameleon. He don't got no identity racially. He has no racial identity. He just infiltrates everyone's community and says he's part of them. But if we left it up to him and asked him, who the hell are you? He'll say he's a European. A European goes to Europe, and Europe is Europa, and Europa is a mythological being. We cannot trace back his ancestry. And no, shit does not grow in the mountains. Very few things grow in the mountains. And no, Europeans don't have flowers. They just came on to flowers. Most of the flowers that they love in their culture are what? Hybrids. You know why? Because they're not used to growing anywhere where there's flowers growing. Because they're not in those kind of conducive weather patterns. They don't know what a damn flower is. They don't grow where flowers grow. They grow where it's cold. And they got modern-day caves today called the Mall, where they keep them nice and air-conditioned. And they got skyscrapers to block the sky, block the sun. You're still dealing with a vampire. He's just more sophisticated than he used to be. He got that hump out of his back that appears when he becomes 80, 90 years old again. He got that hump out of his back. He got it out. He got it out of his back. He learned how to walk on two. He learned how to eat, and then now he's trying to teach you, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you ate your fork with the wrong hand. You got the knife in the wrong hand. Your elbow's on the table. Listen, you a goddamn beast, man. But all the shit you have done to our people and everyone else's people around the world, you got the nerve to tell me that I'm eating with the fork in the wrong hand? And black people swallow this up and start going to their classes to learn how to eat the right way. This is ridiculous. And you're going to tell me anything that he supports and advocates isn't part of the conspiracy or racism? You crazy. We have lost our minds. Hell yeah, he's down with homosexuality. Because once you got your men in a state of women's minds, then you got no damn man in the house. Who's going to protect the children? So I ain't going to front. I've seen some homosexuals put some work in on some gay bashes. It's not a good sight. I'm saying if you're going to gay bash, you better go to the shop. You better go work out. You better do some pull-ups and dips. You cannot gay bash because these guys are really America's new troops. We don't want to believe this. The gay community, to me, is America's new troops. Because you got men with these feminine emotions, with these big muscles. And I'll tell you, I would think twice before I fight me a gay man for several reasons. I would think twice. I would rather fight a straight man because that's a lot of emotion and a lot of muscle at the same time. And they are fighting like they're fighting for their race, like homosexuality is a race. They are the new soldiers of America's community. They can get the jobs. They get all the fashion designer jobs. The only thing a black straight man can get is lifting a french fry box. Maybe security. While if you're gay, we promise you millions of dollars. And people are going to say, you don't see that? You're going to tell me if you go to a fashion store in Fifth Ave, you're going to tell me everybody is in a faggot? See, I live in New York. I don't know how it goes in other states, but I can tell you in this state, if you go to Saks Fifth Ave with money at and you want to buy you some nice clothes, you got to be gay. You got to either be a black woman and straight, or you got to be a faggot-ass man. That's how you get a job in New York City. If you look too black, they tell you cut your hair off. We can't have that as a job. This is true. But they'll let the woman come in here with her afro and her locks and everything. We want you here. But we want you to have your little gay pet like a dog. You ever see like black women now walking around with one gay guy? What kind of shit is this? First it was the poodle, now they got one gay guy around like he's a poodle or something. Like every time you see a group of black women, she got her, nah, he's funny, he's, you know, he helps us dress. We are under a spell. I be wanting to smack the hell out of people. Hey, I tell you, I be having to isolate myself from society a lot of times. I only come out to lecture and you know, teach what I have to teach, and I go back in the house and I hide because I think everyone's losing their mind. And when I talk to people and this thing seems like it's over their head, it gets me nervous because it makes me feel like I'm maybe going crazy. Am I going crazy, brother?
Hey, I have been told often that I am crazy. I'm only crazy if the system of white supremacy does not exist. Now, if that system exists, I'm not going to... I think I have a pretty clear understanding of what's happening if that system exists, and I would say it seems like you are a lot less confused than most non-white people I talk to if the system of white supremacy exists. So, yeah. And the event, again, this weekend, I want to make sure we promote. I want to give out the address one more time for folks listening in. It'll be March 13th, Sunday, March 13th. It's going down in Brooklyn, New York, at the Cultural Performing Arts Center, CPAC. The address is 1020 E as in East 48th Street, E48 Street. It's at Farragut Road, F-A-R-R-A-G-U-T Road. It's two blocks from Utica Avenue in Brooklyn. Again, this is Sunday, March 13th, 2011. For more information, you can visit the website 2012stores.com. If you're listening at Blog Talk Radio, you can just click Brother Polite's name and it will take you to the website, Context of White Supremacy. If I could make a request, if we could stay G-rated for younger folks who might be listening, and I try not to reference black people calling them niggers unless I'm quoting a white person doing it. Just I try to keep that word on white people. please, if you want to share a little bit about the book, that's fine. Or if you wanted to, if you had more that you wanted to share about the so-called homosexuality, that's fine too. Because I'm in total agreement, and I just want to get that out again. I do not think it is in any way constructive. I do not think black people should support or encourage this misbehavior. It is not funny. It shouldn't be joked about. I think that is fantastic. I should sound clip that where you were saying. The young gentleman asked you to go to see Big Mama's, you know, whatever, and you told him you didn't want to, participate in this homosexual behavior. I think that's fantastic, and I think that should be codified. I mean, that should just be standard. We do not support these films, television programs, any of this. We do not support it. We are in total opposition to it. So if you had anything more you wanted to share on that, that's great. No. If you wanted to talk about the...
Yes, no doubt. And I'm definitely... keep the criteria of the show, and I want to make it clear to our family out there, when I do use the nigger word, I mean it in its proper context, because I feel the person who gave birth to the nigger would be the nigger themselves. So in the event that these Caucasoids feel that they created or made the Negro / the other N-word, I would like to make it clear that when I'm talking about the so-called, quote-unquote, nigger, I'm talking about the people who are still generating and perpetuating the same mentality that was graciously bestowed upon us by our slave masters. That's the people that I'm talking about, not the generalization on all of us darker-skinned, melaninated people. And I understand people still feel sensitive about the word. And if I went into the etymology, that wouldn't be good for people because they just remember it during a certain part of history where we was at a particular low. And I understand and respect that. But I do want people to understand me when I'm talking, and I do go there. I'm talking about the most degenerated state of mind. I'm talking about the brother who feels no way about exploiting his women on BET, black women, thongs or no thongs on, calling them all sorts of obscenities, calling them all sorts of derogatory names. As the white man pimps him, he's pimping his women. That is the Negroid mentality. I'm talking about the people who work against you when you're trying to uplift your people and give them the right information and you want to homeschool your children, and people are telling me, you know, they're going to come lock you up. I still got people to this day tell me, yo, you think you can do something like that? So you're going to get locked up for that. We had somebody last lecture. My family is right in this house with me. They can attest that a woman actually went to Simon and asked her, what are they doing? They don't know they can get locked up or get in trouble for that. They don't know white people going to stop them from teaching their children in the house. We are now, that to me, not because, you see, she could have been making a mistake, but to me, in essence, that makes her a Negro / the other N-word. In essence, why? Because it's 2011. and you're still afraid to educate your children in the house? It is 2011. What slave? What is the name of your slave master in 2011? Because you obviously ain't walking around like one of the free blacks. You obviously are still babysitting their children. Oh, yeah, those are the other N-words to me, too. The black people pushing these Jewish babies and even breastfeeding them. We may not even know this is going on. The black women that are still breastfeeding Jewish women's babies. The black women that are still taking care, the black women and the Spanish women still taking care of other people's babies while their babies are being taken care of by the white man and the white woman's educational system. While their children go to school, while their children go to school and get miseducated, they are over here raising white people's babies. I'm trying to find a more appropriate word for these people. It may be because of my Brownsville demeanor that I always be thinking about that N-word, because I associate that word to slavery times. And I can't see nothing more slave-like than black people in this day and time ignoring their children, neglecting their children, and raising other people's. I just don't understand. It's 2011, and we're still raising everybody else's children but our own? It's 2011, and black men are being pimped by white people so they can pimp their women on TV? And it's 2011. 2011, and black people are telling me I'm going to get locked up for homeschooling my children. I should keep that quiet. And it's 2011? Somebody needs to step out the Stargate, man. Somebody is stuck in time. I think black folks are still thinking segregation is going on and everything. Not that I'm against it. I think we should be able to be left alone to our rights, but I want them cheating when they do it. They can't be cheating. They're always cheating in the race and tripping people. That's why it's called the race. Everybody's competing, but they have a tendency to trip people. They have a tendency to catch a cab in the middle of the race and then wait at the finish line and say, we beat you. And be like, no, I know you can't beat me. I know I got faster legs than you. They have a tendency to cheat. So I do want us as people to be left alone to our own vices, but we got to set some criteria, because the last time we tried to have this race, they cheated. They cheated for 300 years plus. They keep cheating. So we're going to go forward, and we're going to ask people to ask themselves, how long is this going to go on before you start going out there and acting like you're upset about the situation? Because I'm upset about the situation. I really try to stay away from the situation a lot of times. I teach my calculus, sentential calculus, algebra, geometry, sequential mathematics 1 to 6. I have my language classes. I try to tell people, leave me alone when it comes to this white people stuff. I say, I reserve this stuff for Brother Gus when I get on the show. Any other show you hear me on, I leave that stuff alone. Because I feel a certain way about it. Like, I heard the brother, we laugh our behinds off on the show. I heard the brother say, I'm willing to disrespect my own mother. I'm willing to diss my mother if I find out she's associating with white people. I said, man, that thing made us laugh so hard. It's the satire, and it's to say, when are we going to get that upset anyway? When are we going to get that upset to the point where we won't be friends? People that are actually hindering us in the community. And one of the biggest hindrances is to do more for others than you do for self. Self-preservation. We said we was rolling, my children were laughing, but we wasn't laughing because we was like, yo, that brother's ignorant. We were laughing because we like, you know what? We should actually be to the point where we that frustrated. You know what? Maybe 200 years later, we could affiliate with white folks a little bit more when we have some racial pride and identity, and we can do business with them back and forth and everything like that, and we don't lose ourselves and get all entangled in their culture. But right about now, it does take a lot of that. Because that's what I said a lot of times. I don't even like talking about these particular issues, because people, the problem with people, they got white blood. The problem with people, their father's in the house white, their mother's white. Their uncle's white. One of their good friends is white. Their teacher they're in love with is white. They're having an affair with his wife. So they're very biased when you start teaching this information. And they're not being fair and saying, you know what? No one's telling you to kill a certain half of yourself. Well, I am telling you to kill a certain half of yourself, but everybody else is telling you to kill a certain half of yourself. No one's telling you to get rid of your friend because he's white. We're not telling you that. We're telling you the facts. You're supposed to do something with it after we give you the facts. That's what we tell you. But it's unfair when people are being biased and then they don't want to tell the truth, that most of the people who got the biggest problems with the situation is the ones who they have white people swimming through their gene pool immediately. Not just first generation, but in their life. These are the people that have the biggest problem. These people have the biggest problem, and they pushing us back as the people because of their genetic ties. And that's why I'm at a point, I'm like, look, I'm going to leave that stuff alone, and I'm just educate and teach people. But when people start asking me questions like this, I go off, man. I got to go off because I've been in a gang before. So I can identify a gang that's more superior than my gang. This is how it is in the hood. You play gangster, but then you come across another gangster, you say, nah, that dude is gangster. And then that gangster plays gangster, and then you realize that dude is gangster. When you get locked up in prison, you find yourself in there, yo, man, you keep acting up, I'm going to shoot you. And then you turn around and say, damn, well, what gun? And next thing you know, you got to know how to fight again. So different atmospheres appropriated for different gangsters. I'm saying the biggest gangster on the planet, because I know gang stuff. I've been in the gang. I've been in prison. I met gangsters from different levels. I ain't never met a gangster like this white man. He is gangster. That is the biggest gangster on the planet. The white man is a gangster. White man will come on your land and say, I want it. Y'all got 5 minutes to go. White man will come in your neighborhood and say, look, your light is cutting off. He will see your family. He will see your babies and your children today. He don't even feel that you feel you could do something to him. White man will see you shoot one of your brothers and come out of the car and say, put that gun down. And sure enough, this is the part that killed me every time. The brother puts the gun down and does life in prison. I don't get it. He took one black man's life, and then he put his gun down so he don't take the white man's life. And he knows the white man has it in for him to make sure he don't see outside no more for a lifetime. I don't get it. But, you know, this is why I said, am I crazy? This is why I like talking about this stuff, because I get pissed off after a while. I get real upset when I talk about this stuff. This is a part of my nature that I reserve to have with me and my family, because I learned what we got to do. We got to start teaching effective racism inside our households. We can't be commercializing this stuff. We got to do what makes all the other races successful. Everyone keeps their racism inside their house. They have domesticated racism. They go out there, they work with everybody, they hire black folks and do everything like that. But when they come home, they make sure they teach their children, look, you are better than everybody on this planet. You are God's chosen children. Shema Yisrael. They start teaching all this craziness. Then they go back outside. Hey, how you doing? No, we're all one. Then they come in their house. Look, they're Gentiles, and Gentiles don't have no rights. And if they go to court against a Jew, then the Gentile has to do life in prison just because he went against the Jew. But they come outside. Oh, would you like to have a job, Mike? Oh, Mike, you're so funny. Yeah. So they come back in the house. Mike is a nigga. I'm sorry, I said the nigga word again. But that's what they do. They treat you like they love you outside, and when they come in the house, you're an animal. You're a beast. And you can see it in their ways, because the second you can compete with them, when they think you're inferior, then they get upset. You go to your job, and you show a better way to do something after he's been messing it up for 10, 15 years. He damn near just close ready to fight you. And most black people that work for white people tend to know the job better than the white people that hire them. And black people start sitting there to themselves, why is he here? I could do this job way better than him. Then you start really just doing your thing just so you can be comfortable. Hey, slow down. What are you trying to do? You're showing me off. He wants you to do a good job, but not better than him. You see, you don't understand the nature of cat and dogs. They can be all good when you domesticate them because everybody's feeding the cat and everyone's feeding the dog. But let one of them stop eating. Then you'll see the nature really come out. Let white people stop eating. Then you're going to see where the race comes back in. The whole race, the competition. No, they good money right now. They ain't got no time to be racist. They feeling good about themselves. But let black people start coming up. You ain't hear all the racism come out of people when Obama's running for president? You start seeing some stuff out of people. Ku Klux Klan, everybody start buying all nothing but guns. The niggas are taking over. This is what white people said. They said the Negroes are taking over. They brought out all the guns. They said, we taking America back. The slightest inclination of black empowerment was a threat to the whole white community. Everyone that had a black friend denied their friends and started going crazy. Only one thing I want to show you is the white folks that say, yeah, change is good. But if you was living in good old white man U.S. reality, this was no better reality show than when Obama was running for president. When you start seeing the Klan members revival, and all of a sudden they start getting new membership again. Now, everybody was minding their business and wasn't thinking about racism. Sometimes I think Obama was planted just to help incite the race war. Because now white folks are insecure again.
I said that, too.
He said that, too. Now you see, that's crazy. I never heard nobody say that. But I feel they did this to incite a race war. They did this to remind white folk, y'all easing up on those black people. Keep the tension on them. They think they emancipated. We see them on BET with these big, giant chains that if they put it around their neck, they'd be walking around like humpbacks. Look at these Negroes. got these riding spinners, Negroes, with their doors that lift up. They can't get regular doors. Why their doors got to raise up? Why they got to have a drop top? Why are our children listening to their music? Everybody wants to be black. Why is everybody trying to get a tan? Why are white people crimping their hair to get afros? Why is there so much people cry for Michael Jackson? Why were they crying on his statue? My gosh, I think people are falling in love with black people again. I know what to do. Let's make a black person president. People, excuse me? That doesn't make sense. No, it makes a lot of sense. It's going to wake up the racial pride in white folks again. That's what it's going to do. It's going to wake up the racial pride in white folks again. White people felt there was a threat. The threat of a black man taking over the union. They said, you know what? Time to start teaching this stuff in our house ninefold again. Time to start teaching this stuff ninefold in the community again. You don't think that they're teaching harder than ever before? See, we thought, hey, we treated Obama like that was a get-out-of-jail-free call for 9/11. We treated Obama like, reparations happened. You know, you talk to some white people about reparations, you know what they say? Y'all got Obama in office now. Now, that never made sense to any other race that becomes president. For our race. You know, you get a black president, everybody's saying, well, we definitely ain't going to help you now. And the worst thing that could have happened to the black community is we get a black president. And now, nobody feels they got to help us no more. Like, the few white people that was going to ride out for us turned around and started getting able to white pride again. So, you know what? No, they got somebody in office. We know we didn't vote for them. They got somebody in office. Now, that brother, he was pinned. And then he turns around and says his favorite president is Abraham Lincoln. Excuse me, the guy that said that blacks are inferior? And he would never give them equal competition or rights? Excuse me, the black man you said is president, who we can't find his birth certificate out of nowhere? The black man that you said is president, who he might be from Hawaii, he might be from Kenya? Negro might even be Chinese for all we know. Like, we don't know where he come from. You telling me he could be the Manchurian candidate for all I know. That's what I think he is, but that's another situation. I ain't knocking him, but I think he's one of them candidates that we saw Denzel Washington in a playing in a movie. That man is Manchurian candidate, man. That guy, he's not responsible for all his actions and thoughts. There's no other president but him particularly. Because when a black man goes out there and says, my idol is the person who said black people are inferior, I was walking with him and I was telling people, get off Obama's case. He's a brother, let's just live it. But he is, I said, excuse me, Abraham Lincoln. Then you make sure he does certain black things. You know a white man created Obama. You know why? They make sure they show him shooting hoops. They make sure they show him bouncing to Snoop Dogg. They make sure they make him say, I like Jay-Z. I like what he's talking about. They say, you know what they're trying to do to us, right? You can't see the TV show. This is a reality show. You can't see it? Now, you mean it's a coincidence they catching this brother playing basketball, saying, listening to Snoop Dogg and bouncing, dropping like it's hot? Excuse me, the president is bouncing to drop it like it's hot? That's something he should have kept to himself. He should not have brought that to the community. Drop it like it's hot. Snoop Dogg, a known pimp of the black woman? I said, yo, come on, this is... And black people like, yes, you see, he's definitely black. He's definitely black. I'm like, and you're definitely an idiot. You're definitely stupid. You're like, how you don't see this? So the white people said, you know what, if you let him play basketball, then that would definitely define him as a black man. You see, this is how they think. If you make them drop to... And white people are extreme. White people are extreme. So white people are not going to have him listen to Langston Hughes or nothing like that. White people are so extreme. If you want him to look like he's black, you got to play Snoop Dogg. You got to play Drop Like It's Hot. That'll make him think he's black. You see, they're extreme. And I'm here looking like, okay, people, we should be appalled at this point. The man is advocating a pimp. And his favorite rapper and his favorite album is Jay-Z's American Gangster. The movie patterned after Frank Lucas. American Gangster? Is this what America's promoting? You know what that does for white people in their right state of mind? We got to get this Negro out of office. These black people are going to destroy the union. You know, when he does something wrong, you know, people ain't going to blame him. You know what white people do, right? When one black person, if you're standing next to a white person while watching TV and you see that a black man robbed a bank, that white person automatically looks at you like you're affiliated with the crime. And you're like, look, I just turned the channel on the same time you turned the channel on. What part of this do they think we all related when it comes to the crime? So let Obama do the wrong thing. Guess what's going to happen? All black people did the wrong thing. This is a setup. It's set and built and designed so we can say, look, we gave y'all a shot. Now we're going to come down. Now it's time to start on you. They're already starting that extramarital affair scandal. And you know they got to come with that because, come on, they hit Bill Clinton with that. They got to hit him with some kind of marital affair and secret children because there's always penis envy. They hate us because we can produce and we're fruitful and we can multiply. We don't have to plan 6 months in advance to have a child and keep trying after 6 months. We don't have to do that. We can just caress somebody's arm and they get pregnant. We don't really have to try so hard to get people pregnant. We were intended to reproduce. It was ordained for us to reproduce. So this is why they got to make the black man a homosexual. This is why he has to make the black woman a lesbian or a lover of the white man. Make the black man a homosexual, and let's try to create as much of scenarios as possible where black women can be amongst white men. So that way they can keep their seed going further. Meanwhile, the black men will destroy themselves by way of joining gangs, being incarcerated for racist reasons, and for some pretty good reasons. Black people tend to do things that warrant them to be incarcerated. I don't agree with the jail system. I believe they should educate people that get incarcerated based on the crime so they don't come out just, you know, displaced in society only to go back in there again. Because, you know, they cut out even the GED, whatever that was worth. They even cut that out, the prison system. So you're in a place where the only education you can get is that the white man is Jesus. The only thing you can do is find a religion that the white man constructed for us. That's the only thing you can do. Negro, we're not going to teach you no basic skills. You're just going to have to find out about Prophet Muhammad, who y'all say is illiterate, can't read, and you should be like him. Or you could take white Jesus and do something with yourself. But either way, if the prison system says this is what you can read, that's the first trap, black man. If you think it was a conspiracy that you got locked up in the first place, how are you going to trust the material they allowed you to read in the second? So if you think the white man is part of a conspiracy, how does it stop when you watch Big Mama's House Part 2? What the hell is this? Can people be saying, yo, how come you're still using these slave words that they use on us? I'm saying, no, this is not the workings of a free black mind. This is the workings of someone who's still mentally trapped and mentally enslaved, who would still perpetuate these things in the community. These are destructive things. And in fact, our leadership really needs to be hung for some of the stuff they're doing on TV now. Seriously. And I don't care if they found the dumbest of the dumb in our community. I really don't care no more. There got to be a point where we're going to start gangbanging. If we choose to gangbang, we need to start gangbanging on people that make us look bad. I once heard Chris Rock say, Obama's running for president. Somebody needs to shoot Flavor Flav. He got a reality show, and he's not making it look good for the election. And I said, yo, you know what? I feel what he's saying. I'm leaning towards that. Somebody needs to excommunicate these people out of our society. I say it in nice words. We need to start looking and saying, you know what? If 98% of the media is ruled by Jews who practice Judaism, how come we don't see no Jewish films on TV? I say, you know what? We got to stop smiling in Jewish people's face and say, look, listen, it don't matter. You know what they say? We don't run the Jewish shows, though. No, you know, this is the situation. Listen to me, sis. Listen to me, white lady. Listen. This is your white community, and since you think it's not right what they show on TV, and that's your people need to protest that y'all want to see more Judaism on TV. How about that one? We want to see more Jewish shows. Nah, so don't start that we ain't got nothing to do with that. No, you got everything to do with it. It's your people. Protest. Fight against it. It's not right to exploit other people like that. That's wrong. So don't tell me you're not racist. They are racist. Stop that. You're part of them. Tell them stop that. Or you know better than them. You're sick. Because I know I don't want my people up there making us look bad. But I'm saying, who the hell is hiring them? If our people was hiring our people to get on TV looking like that, then we have to really talk to our people. But our people are not hiring our people to do that on TV. Our people are being hired by the devil to do that on TV. So you got to go to the devil and say, look, go to your devilish people. Since you say you're righteous, you go over there and you tell them. Meanwhile, I talk to my family over here and say, look, we ain't watching no TV. Because we don't watch TV in our house. It makes me sick. We don't watch it. They would have to be supervised. I told you how we get down. You have to isolate from society to make sure you got your mind in it. There's a point where you got to take children out of school There's a point where you got to stay in your house, read books that you choose to read that have everything to do with you. If it has anything to do with anybody else, it's only to the contrapositive. You have to isolate from society to recapture your mind and your sense of spirituality again. You can't serve two masters where you love one and hate the other. And the one you're going to hate is the one that's trying to give you responsibility for yourself and for your kind. You have to isolate. If you're serious about your freedom, if you're serious about your freedom, if you're serious about your family's freedom, if you're trying to maintain the integrity of whatever family values and principles you have, you have to turn that TV off. You have to take your children out of school. You have to stop dealing with that hospital. If you're really serious, you have to even adopt your own language. Because even when they teach you how to speak another language, they teach you how to speak another language, how white people would speak the language. You know, you sound like white people. You just don't know it. You know when you hear black people sound like white people and it gets you upset? You say, oh, this Negro think he white. I can't stand it. Oh, hello. You know, that newspaper, that news reporter voice. So what really happened to da-da-da-da-da? And you say, look, I hate when black people start talking like that. So guess what? When you learn language from them, they teach you how to talk the white way. And if you've got too much grace in your voice when you're speaking or teaching, no, they say you're saying it the wrong way. They say, yo, you're not talking the right way. You're supposed to say it like this. You're supposed to add a little nasalization to it. You're supposed to have a close your nose and start sounding a little like this. Then now you're doing it right, Michael. That's the way they want you to teach. That's the way they want you to learn. That's the way they want you to speak. At the lecture this Sunday, we're going to be going into languages being mucus producing. At the lecture this Sunday, we're going to be showing and proving how language has alkalinity and how language has acidity. We're actually going to be doing this at the lecture this Sunday. And it's important because if you think he conveniently dropped off the Bible for the slaves and he conveniently taught us English when he stripped our mother tongue out of our mouth, and you think he just did it by chance with no implications, then you're nuts. Just like you think he just got all these homosexual shows on TV because homosexuality is in, and you don't think there's some kind of agenda behind it, then you're nuts. There's more white people going to plays than they're watching TV. Black people are watching TV. So we're going to be down for this foolishness. Because especially if we start seeing black people playing the roles, you say, oh, there goes a black person playing the role. Then it becomes cool. It becomes cool. See, we got to get our economics right because people do compromising things and their economics ain't right. A person would be willing to sell his woman on TV if their economics ain't right. If they just downtrodden and tied to poverty, they'd be willing to partake in that homosexual act just to stay out of poverty. We need to stop dealing with the sensationalism of what all this 2012 business is about and get to the real aspects of it. That's what we're going to be going into. And furthermore, we're not going to deal with the December 21st issue as much as we're going to deal with September 22nd. Because that's a powerful day in black history and in our alignment. That's what we're going to go into that day. But we got to stay away from all this FEMA truck business, New World Order business, and all this other stuff. If it's going to be counterproductive, if we're going to talk about it and have no solution or no resolve for the people, then all we're doing is inducing fear. And that is part of racism. It's called religion. Induce fear. Fear God and know that there's a hell waiting for you. And if God's favorite man and only begotten son got nailed to a cross, what kind of destiny will you have for just not being an upright citizen? Some people are afraid to be mad at white people because they think they're going to go to hell. You know why? Because Jesus came as a white man. So that means he came in the personage of the white race. How dare you teach me to go against white people when Jesus came here in white flesh? Are you crazy? You trying to get me a seat out of heaven? What are you trying to do? You don't understand psychologically what it does to you when you accept a white savior of a black community. You don't really understand how it traumatizes us and how the insecurity seeps in and it flows through your veins and you don't even realize the decisions that you make and the hate that you have for some people and the love that you have for others is all built around this principle that white people are your savior. You don't even want to punch white people in their face for some of the ridiculous things they do because they seem like they're blood relatives to Jesus. We don't realize that. We don't realize it. Some of us still won't spit on the ground where church is just because. Some of us won't drop the Bible. We drop the Bible and go, some of us are so spooky. But would we be this spooky if the faces were black? No. We'd be acting funny if we had black gods. Look at us now in the Egyptian community, acting like Negroes, debating each other and acting all crazy and disrespecting each other because we have disagreements. When we get that white god, everybody shut up. We know white man put us to slavery. A lot of people think slavery was given to us by the white god because black people are out of line. Because they wanted to be Egyptians. I don't understand where people get this information from. Some people say the best thing ever happened to us in slavery was that we got the Bible. Let's say he couldn't get the information across to us no other way. He had to give us a Bible. The best thing that happened to us in slavery was that we got the Bible. Excuse me, are you serious? Are you for real? Are you for real? Like, what was we reading prior to the Bible? Oh, yeah, that's my smart back. We had a language prior to them stripping our tongue. Oh, yeah, cool. They beat the hell out of us. But at least we got a Bible out the deal. Oh, that's cool. Like, maybe I should make sure they foreclose on your house. Take your car, take your wife, kill your children, and give you a Bible and say that's the best thing that did happen to you out of the situation, though. That's foolishness. They tie you to two different horses, rip you in half, your baby fall out, but at least we got the Bible. They make you have sex. They make you have sex. I'm writing for my own children. They make you have sex with your best friend's wife in front of them. In front of them. But the best thing that came out the deal is that we got a Bible. They experiment on you to see how different diseases work through you and contrast to them. But the best thing we got out the deal is we got the Bible. Negro, are you crazy? See, my children laugh. You know why? Because they're not going to get caught up in that. And they're all girls. They laugh. You know why? They don't understand it. But guess what? Y'all don't understand this grown adults thinking like this. That's what y'all don't understand. See, y'all laughing. You know why? Because y'all smart. When you get, not even my age, you talk to a few more people out there, they'll have you thinking like I be thinking. I be thinking I'm crazy. See, I know I ain't crazy when y'all start laughing because y'all say, man, who think like that? Y'all go out there, y'all talk to some crazy people. Maybe we should have a field trip and go to the local mosque, synagogues, and churches and see what black people talking about. See what they got to say. See what they got to offer y'all. Then you stop laughing. You say, this is scary. I used to laugh, too, because I kind of thought it was a joke until I started talking to some people for real. Then I realized, oh, sweat, we're in a real predicament here as a people. Hold on. We bypassed the whole slavery thing just because we got a Bible? Like, come on, man. That's crazy. That is crazy. That is crazy. So I know what to do now. If I'm going to steal your money, your hard-earned money, for 10 years, and I know your money is under the mattress, I take it, I just leave a Bible Quran there. That's what I'm going to do. It's like, don't worry, Jesus died for my sins a long time ago. Don't worry about it. I'll be all right. And yo, look, listen, you ain't got no money to pawn shop and hurt the world, son. Don't worry about it. You'll be all right. You'll get the whole world after I've sold your $10,000. Don't worry about it. You get the whole world. And don't worry about me because Jesus died for my sins. So look, it worked out for both of us. The best thing we ever got was this Bible. I steal your $10,000. You're poor now. You shall inherit the world. I'm a sinner, but Jesus died for my sin before I even stole your money. Now we good money. And all we got to do is just believe in his name, and we have a way into heaven. That's all we got to do. So I believe in Jesus every day of the week, every time I sin. That'd be crazy. And this, we saw some silly show when we went by my pop's house. I went by my father's house, and it was this black woman they had on BET, some kind of play with Vivica Fox, where she was hollering all over the place, sexing man after man after man. I said, this lady needs to be isolated from the black community. She needs to sit down and be tied up to a chair and watch episodes of Roots for 48 to 72 hours to get back in her black mind. To come over here where black women will wait for the white man and call him the honky because he will come and honk the horn so she can make some money to feed her children because she had no money. And that's why she prostituted then. And you got this black woman shows herself as a woman with a house and she's hollering for what reason? She prostituting for what reason? And she got all these black men saying, yo, you need to stop this, sister. I mean, how the hell she can play that role? Precious wasn't good enough?
Oprah Winfrey's Precious, yeah, she loved black people. She put out that. After all those years of being black, the only thing you can do is come out with a Precious movie? See, that's why I like talking about this, because I'm going to get in trouble one day when I say what we need to do with people like them. I'm going to get in trouble. And I swear, you know how people watch soap operas and they see the person in the street that play that role that they don't like, and they smack the hell out of them when they see them in the street? I can never see Oprah Winfrey in person. I'll beat the hell out that sister. I don't even know if she's a female. She's one female exception. I will body slam that woman. Precious. Did you see that movie? That is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Fat woman, black woman running down the block stealing chicken. I'm like, it's 2010, and they come out with a movie like that? In 2010, you still got slavery movies like that? It's not right, man. It's not right. We need to, they need to be afraid to walk in the black community after participating in stuff like that. I don't care what nobody say. You should be afraid to project that kind of image of your community and still walk amongst your community. You should be afraid. Snoop Dogg should be afraid. 50 Cent should be afraid. Jay-Z should be afraid. All those people should be afraid to walk in our community after they denigrated the character of the black men and the black women of our community. All of them should be afraid to walk in our community. All of them. They owe us an explanation for their actions because it's disturbing. Because you even convincing our children that this is who and what they are. You're convincing our children that if you want to make money and be so-called successful, this is what you got to do. Now Negroes is upset because there wasn't no black nominees for what, the Oscars or some crap? Who the hell cares? Oh, maybe we need another Training Day movie from Denzel Washington. Maybe we need another Negro who the white man is trying to tell him, look, that's the wrong idea. Look, we shouldn't steal money, black man. I got to get paid. Give that man an Oscar. Maybe we need another Halle Berry to have sex with white people on TV. Violently have sex with white people on TV. Maybe that's what we need. So we can get an Oscar? We need some sick people. That's why I don't talk about this stuff, man. Because I get emotional about this. I done almost lost my life participating in the game, trying to destroy my own people, only to wake up and the so-called intellectuals of our community, of our society, is doing worse than the Bloods and Crips. Worse. I'd rather be fighting people against the bandana they're wearing than to go out there on TV and project these violent, disgusting, and derogatory images of my own woman. And I got daughters in my house. Are you crazy? See, Negro about to come out of me. I'm about to ask, is you crazy? Yeah, y'all hear it. It's coming out of me. It's coming out of me. Because I'd rather be in that gang state of mind than to have a lot more sense in my head and come out with a Precious. You talking about one of the richest black women in the world. And the only thing that she can conceptualize on is coming out with a Precious movie? Seriously? You're talking about Will Smith, with all the money he got, he really had to participate in a movie where he's kissing white people? White men? Seriously? Nah, these people are traitors, man. It's treasonous. Oscar? For who? All them people sold us out. They need to sell out awards. We need to trick their behinds and make them think they're coming out for some serious awards. And the best sellout Negro of 2011, Oprah Winfrey. And everybody just start clapping, applauding. We hate you, Oprah, yes, we hate you. Instead of throwing panties on the stage, she would have to duck because we're shooting at her. That's what it's supposed to be. Because that's what she did. She killed us when she came out with that. Yo, listen, I went and I saw that stuff in the theater just to bear witness to it. I ain't going to lie, I actually went to that one. As much as movies I don't see, I went to see that one in person. You know what? White people look like they want to give me a donation. They look like they were feeling sorry for me after the movie. White people make me so sick. They watch TV and they really just, their world is so fake. They live in such a fake world that if they watch one show with a black person in it, they exclusively put all black people in that same bubble. And they looked at me like I was molested when I was young. They looked at me like, if I'm a father, you shouldn't be doing that to your children. They looked at me like since you was a child that was done to you. They looked at me like, I want to give you a $10 donation. I want to adopt you. I'm 27 years old, and after watching Precious, I swear two or three white people looked like they wanted to adopt me. I said, yo, Oprah is a, I can't say it. I was just so pissed off. I pissed. I was about to stalk her ass. I was about to try to figure out where's the next place she's going to be. Because I don't care if white people funded her. We got to start getting at our own people, man. We got to start getting at them. We got to tell them, bleach your skin and let us know that you ain't down with Team Black. But you cannot walk around with that skin complexion and misrepresent us like that. If I, matter of fact, if I saw, I'm going to start carrying a bottle of bleach just in case the day I see Oprah. I'm going to throw all that bleach on her face. And I'm going to tell her, get out that black skin. You ain't got no right. I'm telling you, wash it off right now. Coming out here, you got the pride of humanity's history on you when you're wearing this black skin, this melanated skin. When you got that skin alone, it says how rich and how pure your DNA is. Or at least it reflects who and what we was at a certain point in time before all this integration. That's what it does. That's what it does. So in the gangs, when somebody was misrepresenting or false claiming, as we say, we beat you up. If you had a blue flag on and you wasn't really Crip, we beat you up. If you was Crip and you wasn't, and you got G-checked, which is like the catechism, if you wasn't on your point or you wasn't on your square like a Mason, we beat you up. So I'm saying, look, all of our ideas wasn't too bad that we learned in the gang community. Because Negroes ain't listening to reason. I can't wait till stuff just get out of control and beyond repair. I'm going to create a conscious gang. I'm going to create a conscious gang. First one's going to fly is Oprah, but I'm going to create a conscious gang. And when we create this conscious gang, we're going to go after everybody that misrepresented us, man. This is what we got to do. And you better hope it's us. Because trust me, if there really are some Nubian ancestors out there living in space, ready to come rapture some people, I know how our parents was when we did wrong. They got light switches. They got extension cords. They got bamboo sticks. If their hand was near a pot, they picked up a pot. How you think your God going to treat you when they come down here? How you think your gods are going to treat you when they come down here and see how you have whored yourself, how you have prostituted yourself, how you have sold your people out? How you think your gods are going to come down to planet Earth and deal with you after you done straightened your hair? After you done learned this language and turn your back on them? You think they just going to open arms and say, Jesus love you? Man, you better hope Jesus ain't black, because he'll come down with a belt. You ain't never seen a black man. And you better hope there ain't no female messiahs up in there. Because females just as worse when it comes time to beat their child. And I can see Negroes now. Black messiah come down whipping everyone's behind. He going to try to divorce Jesus in court, in white man's court. He going to try to divorce Jesus. You know Negroes trying to divorce their parents now, still with this white man, U.S. of A. I see him now. You think the white man got so much power, you would actually take your messiah to court if you could. He said, I don't like him no more. I want to switch to Buddhism. Some sick people, man. It's time to wake up, people. It's time to wake up. You can't do this no more. You can't do it no more. You actually used to be sensible and practical and stop game banging and start listening to some sense and some reason. And then we come out and we start listening to reason. And this is what you have for us, homosexuality? This is what you have for us, these crazy TV shows? We waking up to do what? Just go back to sleep. Stop fronting like you don't know white supremacy is real. Stop fronting. It is real. And it's in our life every day. It is in your fridge every day. White supremacy is in your fridge. It's in your TV. And white supremacy is probably in your woman's head, if her hair is straight. White supremacy is on her fingernails. It's on her fake eyelids. It's on her fake contacts. Her eyes ain't really blue or green. It's on them tattoos all over her body. It's on all those piercings in her nose. It's in all that weave coming down her head. That's all white supremacy. White supremacy is not limited or exclusive to getting beaten in your head with a club. It is in how you view yourself. It is in how you are educated about yourself. If you only can mention black leadership that has died in the name of the mission, then that is white supremacy, because we all didn't die teaching the truth. We didn't all die as the end result of persecution. In our glory and in our splendor, you can't tell me one black person that has made it for the fullest duration that life would allow them. The only thing you know is Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. That is white supremacy at its best. because you was taught that by white educational standards. That's what you was taught. If you only know George Washington extended, you're victimized by white supremacy. You're victimized. If you don't know Elijah Muhammad, but you know Malcolm X, you are victimized by white supremacy. If you know who Dr. Phil is and you don't know who Dr. York is, your ass is a victim of white supremacy. You are victimized. If you know more about white people than you know about yourself, you're a victim. If you know everybody's name on 5 or 6 basketball teams, and you can't give me that much more names for revolutionaries in your community, you are a victim of white supremacy. You are a victim of white supremacy. If you can mention everybody that was on America's Top Model or Dancing with the Stars, and who's the last one that won it, and you can't tell me the name of 3 brilliant and beautiful black women that fought to see us here, you are a victim of white supremacy. I tried to look at that show one day. I was in Florida. And they said to be a star, you got to wear tight pink shoes. Shoes smaller than the size of your feet. I said, what 2 sizes smaller than her feet so she could become somebody? What's this? America's Top Model? What was that? I said, she has to wear shoes 2 times smaller than her feet. That's going to cause a lot of health implications. What part of this got to do with being a star? Well, you see, that's just to say you got to be willing to be controlled and be as dumb as hell if you want this money. You got to be willing to sell your soul and go against your better logic if you want this money. That's what they're teaching the children. So the children go out there and say, I got to get me some pumps that's 2 sizes smaller and learn how to walk in them. You know why? Because my feet too big. I need to make sure that I look like I got smaller feet. Even if them joints bulging out the shoes. This is crazy, man. I can't believe this. So you are coming outside and you're wearing shoes 2 sizes smaller than you're supposed to wear. You are a victim of white supremacy. Because the black community never taught you that. White people taught you wear 2 sizes smaller. Black community said wear sandals when your feet get too big. Over-toe sandals. Call it a day. We don't do this stuff, man. We lost our mind. We don't do this. This is not us. We have way more love and way more pride and esteem for ourselves. We got to give them back their culture. We got to give it all back to them. Give it back to them. You ain't missing nothing. What are we going to be missing? Homosexuality? Disease? Bad food? What are we going to be missing? Man, they talking about trying to go on the moon. Out, they take the whole race up there. Give planet Earth a break so it can breathe. Let them all go. Let them all go. They don't like each other and they don't like us. Let them all go. But they all work with each other. If it comes down to it and they got to bring somebody down, they'll work with each other. That's the element we have yet to learn. Because the African thinks he's different from the African-American. The Haitian definitely thinks he's different from everybody else. Spanish people forget about it. If you ask most of them, they're white. This is crazy. They really, really. If you're sitting there thinking that you're white, when the white man constantly calls you otherwise, you're a victim of white supremacy. Because this is going on everywhere you look, everywhere you walk. Everywhere you walk, you got people trying to infiltrate the white community while the white community infiltrates everyone's community and then tries to steal their identity. Now white people saying, we're African. They didn't want to touch Egypt when they gave us the Bible. They said, dang, them black churches is getting it popping. Well, since they turned it back on Egypt, let's claim Egypt now. Now they're claiming Egypt. We're not going to let y'all black people steal Egypt from us. Oh, excuse me, y'all didn't like Egypt some years ago. You said there was pagans. You see, we're not going to give you back your Jesus. We done took him and made him black, gave him afros and gold chains and everything. And now you're mad. And he's like, look, once they hell-bent on keeping something, they're not going to give it back. Let's take Horus and Isis. See, we gotta chill, man. We got to chill. This stuff right here, I joke around a lot, but nothing I said wasn't true. Joke around a lot, but I'm like, listen. Our children are relying on us to make a better day for them. They're relying on us. We can't let our children down. and have them live in yet another generation controlled and ruled by white supremacy. White supremacy. If we're serious about our future, if we're serious about our progeny, if we're serious about ourselves and our own personal development, we have to take a lot of what was said on this show today from the very, very beginning and how we should talk to each other, how people should address us. You should demand a certain level of respect. In fact, you should demand even more respect from white people than anyone else on the planet because they owe you. You see, that sounds totally racist. But that's not racist. Like I said, racism is the school system. Racism is the Food and Drug Administration. Racism is the medical institution. What I said is reality. You got to start acting like someone did something to you. That's when people start saying sorry. If you don't act like someone did something to you, no one's going to apologize. And no one's going to show it in actions that they're sorry. Start treating white folks the way they are. When I go in an elevator, I grab my wallet and I hide in a corner. Because I know when you come to someone's land, you steal from people. You go to Egypt, you steal the phallus off the black man's body, no one knows where that is, then you go and you sell the body, you show his jewelry all over the place, you dug up our ancestors' graves, and then you sell. You sell that which you excavated. Now, if that ain't necromancy on another level, I don't know what is. How are you going to dig up somebody's grave and then charge people to see that being that was buried? And how are you going to be a relative of them and not feel away? Why don't they just dig up Jesus? Oh, yeah, I forgot. It's a lie. Why don't they dig up Moses? That's right. That's a lie, too. Why don't they dig up Noah's big-ass boat? The boat was supposed to be bigger than Manhattan. To fit to a very animal on the planet. You can't find a piece of wood. Only thing you can find is a potato that looked like Jesus. Well, that's why you got to come into Egypt, the place that you say is full of demons and debauchery and idolatry. You got to go over there, and you got to pull them out the ground, and you got to charge everyone to look at us as gods, and then still call us derogatory names in America. Still. And people say, like, why you be sounding so angry whenever you start talking about white people? They owe me, man. And they owe you. They owe us. So I say, you know, I can't go outside just acting like this by myself. That's why I don't go outside much. I go outside long enough where I can tolerate other races, and then I run home quick before my glass shoe wear off and I have to kick somebody ass. That's how it is. Because I don't like it. I don't like being outside like that. I don't like being around blind black people. And I don't like being around white people that know what they're doing in the system, how they're milking it, and they're front like they care about black people and they're not racist. And I got a few white friends. I got black friends, you know, and they're counting them five fingers and six fingers. I hate that. I'm around black people all the time. I understand, y'all. If you understand me, you wouldn't even be in my face right now because you would understand what a black man thinks you're full of. We got to get away from it. We got to get back into our state of mind. This is our world. This is our life. It's time to move forward. No more Precious movies. No more Will Smith kissing people. No more Halle Berry having sex with somebody. No more Snoop Dogg proud and boasting that he's pimping his own women. No more 50 Cent talking about who he's going to shoot and gun down. We know he ain't talking about gunning down no white people. No more of this Negro activity. Please, get back your minds. No more black women walking around with one gay dog. Stop this. And I ain't talking about the dog on all fours. No more of this. No more. You should feel uncomfortable with that. No, we have to start going outside and saying, I don't like you. Hey, how you doing, Michael? I don't like you. Stop acting like everything's all good. Stop acting like when you go home, you don't hate my guts. Start telling the truth, white people. Just tell the truth. If you do anything for me and you don't like what I'm saying, just go to black people and tell them that you hate them. This will help wake us up. White people are smart. They make sure they come outside and look like they don't hate you. just to keep a few of y'all, a lot of y'all Negroes working against us. Y'all really believe? No, they don't. They ain't mad at us. They ain't mad at us. Come on, you don't think they jealous of you? You don't think they see they men constantly looking at black women? You don't think they look at that big long back of theirs with no booty in the back? You don't think they look at black women and be jealous of them every day of the week? You don't think that they don't know that it's every white man's dream to have a black woman? He said it in slavery. He said you're not officially a slave master until you get a black woman's vagina and cleaner words. Oh, yeah, this has been written. This is part of the indoctrination when you become a slave master. This is part of the rites of passage. You have to have sex with a black woman. Yeah, but you see, we don't like talking about that stuff. We don't like talking about that stuff. We say, brother, you're getting too graphic. Well, listen, they didn't care if this was too graphic in front of our children. When they raped our black women, our sisters, in front of their children, now we're supposed to keep it a secret from our children until they turn 21 and already been victimized by white men? By the time we start teaching our children about sex and white supremacy, they already be indulging in the crap. Gotta teach them from young. My four-year-old can say devil in four languages and is associated to one race. We just make sure in English we keep it, hey, white people, hey. One of the first things she knew how to do is make a distinction amongst the races. And I ain't teach the racism. If you watch your children, a lot of them don't feel comfortable around white people. You have to teach them to feel comfortable with other races. If you watch black children, they don't like being around white people. They look weird to them. And if you watch alligators, alligators don't be around albino alligators. They're scared. Roaches don't hang out with albino roaches. Have you ever saw a Nubian roach with a Caucasian roach? No. You always see Nubian roaches hanging out with each other. But you don't see Caucasian roaches rolling with the Nubian roaches. You don't see it. If the roaches got melanin, they don't hang out with the Caucasoid. You see alligators all together in the waters. You never see a picture of an albino alligator and all the other alligators. You know why? Alligators get up on two legs and they run from the albino alligator. This is an actual fact. It's an actual fact. They walk on two legs. And they run on two legs. When they see albino alligators, the whole community runs. The whole community runs. The albino alligator has to actually rape another alligator. The community don't want to deal with them. What's going on with the black community? We're the only ones that can't tell we got ghosts amongst our midst. But we can still see Nubian traits with our albino, but I mean, come on, let's be for real. See, black people are weird. Black people be scared of albinos, but they don't be scared of white people. Black people see something suspicious about black people that have a melanin deficiency, but they don't see nothing suspicious about white people in general. I tell you, when I go outside, I treat them like they deserve to be treated. I treat them like people who steal your land. I treat them like people that steal your money. I go outside, and when I see them, I let them see fear in my eyes like you're trying to victimize me. I don't show them fear like a weak black man. I show them fear like I have the knowledge to know that you are always up to something. Because that's what history has taught me. When you come places, people get sick. When you come places, people lose money. When you come places, people get bombed. When you come places, people get raped. When you come places, people no longer speak their language. When you come places, people become homosexual. When you come places, the children start arguing with the parents. Whenever you come somewhere, the place gets turned into hell. And then we see them in our community, and we say, hi. You should be saying bye from day one. You should be looking at them and saying, no, hold on, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? White people move my community, I knock the door. I want to know who they are. I made a pie for you. That's what y'all do, right?
Yeah.
I made a pie for you. I'd like to know, what's your name? How you doing? Come in your house and probe things as fast as I can. Can I go to the bathroom? Check your medicine cabinet. See what kind of pills you on, crazy-ass white people. I know you're on something. But ain't it a shame they could walk in our community any hour and don't have to worry about being robbed? But then you're in your community telling your family, don't go outside a certain hour. But you know Negro's crazy. Ain't it strange? I see white people all sorts of hours, any community. I said, these people are the most gangster people on the planet. They go in any hood. You know, Negroes be rapping. I'm in any hood. No, you're not. You got beef in one of those hoods. You don't go there. White people will jog in Central Park 4 in the morning. After they heard four rapists was on attack, Do-do-do-do-do-do. Some of that's because they're stupid as hell in many cases. But they're gangster people. They just walk around feeling like nothing can happen to them. I am white. I am right. Nothing can happen to me all night. That's how they feel. They walk around. That's the pride they have because they know Negroes would never rise against them because Negroes fear them in the worst way. They don't fear them intellectually. They fear them because they're just scared. I fear white people intellectually. I fear when they come in my community, something's about to go wrong. I fear that the house is going to be taken or something. I fear them because of their trickery. But I don't fear them because I'm scared of who they are as people. We got to wake up. Anything
context.
Else, my brother?
Context of white supremacy. We had folks that called in that wanted to ask questions. Are you cool taking some questions?
Yes, I don't mind. I enjoy the questions.
There's okay.
No, we don't find no people supporting homosexuality. I'm not in the mood, man. I'm gonna have to tell them to go on another radio show so I can curse them out.
Okay. Yeah, I don't support that either. So you know, I'm very clear about that as well. So yeah, I don't think that'll be an issue.
Fighting for homosexuality. I was on a show. Someone was fighting for homosexual rights. I said, listen, I already told you I don't bash people or say we should attack them because of their sexual preference. But what part of that gives you the warrant to impose it on me? If it tried to have me, because I said I'm against them teaching homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle in the public schools. That was the subject matter of the show. Now, I said, now, why won't they teach polygyny as an alternative lifestyle in schools? Why homosexuality against that? See, this is the stuff, like, one is more progressive and comes within conformity with nature. People are making babies with the organs that were prescribed to make babies. The other one, you have to do weird and ridiculous things. Why in school? Why in public school? We went from the banana and the condom in public school to watch videotapes of homosexual couples. That's conditioning. But I'm sorry, brother. That was in my mind. I'm like, how can you just say this belongs in public school? Amongst all the things we're not learning in public school, we have to learn about gay couples. And we have to see them kiss on the videotape. And you think your child is in school learning how to carry the one. Only to see your child. Now you got to watch the male friends your son comes home with because of the stuff they're teaching them in school. And you don't even know they're teaching this in school because you're working two jobs to keep your family alive. You might even be a single parent. Little do you know, they're teaching your child how to have a gay relationship. Come on. And now, if I taught my daughters about having a relationship when they're 7, 8, 9 years old, they say, man, you're a pedophile. What are you doing teaching your children about sexuality so young? But they could come into our public schools, and they can teach you about homosexuality and make you play the video 5 times a week and then quiz you on it. Is homosexuality right? This is an actual test. And if a child say no, oh, they need to be programmed more. They didn't get it. This is what I'm telling you. Yeah, let's hear what people got to say. I would like to hear what people got to say about that. Do they believe that homosexuality should be taught in schools? Because I tend to believe a lot of us are not. Because I expected a lot of people to call that day and say, what the heck? Well, I mean, oh, I think nothing's wrong. It's a new age, new society. I say, you know what, y'all are really new beings. Y'all new beings for real, because I must be old school. I'm 27. I must be old. I just ain't down with it. But I'm here, brother. I'm ready, man. I told you, these subjects mess with my brain, man. They mess with my mind and my heart. They mess with my mind. I could have talked about anything else but this, man.
I totally understand. I want to give the number out for folks. You should call right now, 347-215-6071. You should call right now, immediately, and press 1 if you have a question. I wanted to just to preserve the integrity of the program and the context of white supremacy, because I've said this before. That's why I said I'm just preserving the integrity. I do not think it is constructive for non-white people to harm other non-white people, even non-white people who are severely confused. And in fact, it's so interesting because I had the misfortune of enduring The Color Purple and Precious on the same day. And I did a program talking about, you know, what a wretched experience it was. And I said the thing that is really ugly about Precious is the fact that if you understand, oh, okay, this is really bad and this is, you know, incredibly destructive content and you get upset about it, you still end up being focused on black people, not white people. And
that's right.
I wholeheartedly believe the problem is white people, and we should really make every effort to focus on them, because I think as long as the system of white supremacy exists, it's
right.
real easy for them to create, you know, someone to support, to create non-white people victims who will be confused and support what
right.
they do. And I, even still with saying that, I still want to go back to what I said at the very beginning. If my mom was hanging out with white people, especially if she was informed. If she wasn't informed, it would just be, you know, she's a victim. I wouldn't, you know, I still wouldn't want to have contact. But especially if she was informed, I would be dissing my mom for hanging out with white people. If she was informed about racism and she knew
That's
the
right.
logic, she understood that, because it's totally incorrect and it sends the wrong message. I'm not saying she should be mistreated, but
That's right.
I definitely would want it known. This person is not welcome here, and I do not support this behavior. I wouldn't want that person mistreated, harmed in any way, but I definitely think you can foster an environment where people know that they are not welcome. And I support that for any non-white person. If you're engaged in sex with white people, if you're hanging out with white people, I have no problem making it very uncomfortable. Not mistreated, but you definitely will feel it. And I think that would be good to reduce that behavior, because, again, we are at war.
That's true.
I will hit the phone line. Oh, and also, I don't think white people are victims. I think I agree with what you said. Black people are not racist. By the same token, I don't think white people can be victims. I think white people are very informed. And
They are. I understand. They are informed.
Pam called in. Pam, your line is open. I'm also going to get in. Oh. Are you on speakerphone, Brother Polite? I thought I heard an echo.
Okay,
beautiful. Pam, co-author of Trojan Horse, your line is open. I'm also going to get Mr. Nero and Non Mighty Wick. I'll open your lines up, and the other folks that call in, I will get you as well. Pam, your line is open. Did you have a question for Brother Polite?
Actually, I don't have a question. I just wanted to tell Brother Polite that I'm enjoying this very much. It's good to hear somebody just say what they mean and mean what they say and just say it how they feel it. So I'm enjoying this. So I'm listening right now.
Thanks,
good evening,
sister.
Everybody. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Was that Brother Polite? Did you have a comment or?
Yeah, I just said thanks a lot. I just thanked a whole lot. Appreciate that. Good to feel sane every now and then. But I'm telling you, I don't think my girls really, really understand. They teach, they do their lectures and everything. They're authors of their own books. They're 13 and they're 14 or 4-year-olds, speak four languages. She's doing her thing. They're all homeschooled.
Wow.
But because of the Garden of Eden, the enclosed garden that we created, that's why I sometimes, we do field trips. Like, we went to a church, right or wrong? Did we go to a church? Can you say it loud?
Yes.
And we watched them perform Touching the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
And you see they laughing, and it was a very scary experience, especially with my youngest daughter, my baby. She looked at that, because when we're in our right state of mind, we know something ain't right. When we're not in our right state of mind, when we see a Holy Spirit warrants three people to lock arms to make sure that you don't bang your head on a pole, that is not a Holy Spirit, because any spirit that is guiding me will guide me away from the pole. Common sense. You don't need three people to hold arms and lock me in to make sure I'm no threat to myself in the process of me catching the spirit. And we were sitting there hoping that the people next to us don't get this spirit, because we watched three other people get this spirit. Then we watched the chicken dance by the reverend, busting a sweat. We trying to figure out how come his belly's so big. Is he working out like that on top of that pulpit? We can't figure it out. He clucking and clucking, moving back and forth, five steps up, five steps down, five steps up, five steps down. But I took them to the church because I said, you need to be able to experience your people from all walks of life so you can know if this is what you want to be part of. I'm very devout and meticulous studier and reader. So my whole thing is the learning experience. I don't want them alienating themselves from everybody else. I don't want them feeling alienated. I want them to see these things so they could decide for themselves, is this what you want? Rap concert, let's go ahead. And, you know, if you feel like shaking your head and bouncing, it's okay. It's music. You black. You got soul. But, you know, listen to the message and ask yourself if everyone believed what these people were speaking about themselves, if everyone saw themselves in the light that these people projected in, would this do good by our community or would it do bad? So we got to go places, not just museums. We got to go to a hip-hop concert. We got to go to lectures all the time. We do that. That's nice. We got to go to the church. We got to go to the mosque. We got to pray amongst our people. And we got to decide if we're in the right place. But if you don't get to experience these things, it always defers doubt as to whether or not you're doing the right thing. So I let them experience it. But when they're in their right mind, and I tell them, I'm not going to judge you. If you feel like clucking, you can knock yourself out and cluck. You know, I'm just going to disassociate myself from you when you're legal age, to disassociate myself from you. You can cluck by yourself because I'm not going into no public place clucking, nor am I coming in private clucking. It just ain't my prerogative. But we don't judge those people. But we look and we say, as doctors and as scientists, we have to look at our people and decide to figure out what can we diagnose them with and how can we better help our people in this condition. Because it's a condition. It's a state of mind. Because when we had a fan ourselves because it was too hot in there, when we look at the fan, who did it have on it? Whitey. We looked at there, and when we looked at the painted windows, because it was said it was a black church, I said, I let them know, this is a black church, y'all. But there was nothing but white Jesus all over the church. So we said, these people are sick. And when we spoke to people about it, and I said, ask questions. You know what people say? Oh, it doesn't matter what race he is. But I said, everything in here is white. We opened up the Bibles. Everybody was white. Everybody was white. The servants were black. We did see that in there. The servants were actually black. But the prophets were actually white, Moses and everybody. This is a black church. The stained windows were all white, white people. The fan that you wave on yourself when it's too hot or you feel Jesus coming on the spirit, the people were white on both sides of the fan. So there's nothing but black people in there, so I guess that's why they call it the black church. But we ask our children questions. What do you think about that, where everybody's white? And then when you ask the question, the number one question, so y'all feel Jesus white? No, it doesn't matter what color he is. Apparently, the artists feel that he's white. And I think that the artist for the windows is different from the artist of the fan, which is different from the artist of the Bible. So apparently, all these artists that don't care about what color Jesus is all agree that he's Caucasian. And apparently, y'all Negroes ain't get it yet. Y'all say it don't matter. But apparently, it does. And this is where the problem is. Not that it makes it any different if we take a white man's religion and turn everybody black, but I think it's a start. I think I would feel a lot more comfortable being with black people who embrace black people as their savior. But then maybe if a black person comes with a powerful message, they could be receptive to it. But if white people come with messages, then you can see why we think white is right all the time, because white is the only thing that could be right, because white personifies to save black and to save white. I definitely bring my children out. So I really appreciate what this is said. And I implore that other people, if you get free time, don't just isolate from everybody at times, especially when you got children. Let them participate, because you might find out one of your children might be one of these weirdos, man. I'm serious, and I don't mean to disrespect nobody. But I think when I say weirdo, I think it's something very weird about black people worshiping white people. I think it's very weird. With the cream of our history and all that we can be proud of, I think it's very weird when we worship white people, when white people are our saviors. White people give you these bad phone bills, these bad gas bills. White people incarcerate us. White people gun us down 50-something times. White people slander us. White people enslave us. White people did all these things. And then we still got the opportunity right now to sneak a little black God in your house or something like that, or even do it outside. And we still praying to white folks. I think that's weird. So people do weird things and weird dopes. I don't want to disrespect nobody out there, because I love you so long as you're black. So even if you pray to white Jesus or whatever, I still love you, because I think people came before religion. So I still love you. That's just a common belief that I have in people in my household. We feel that people existed before religion. We actually happen to feel people existed before white people. I make those two different people. People existed before white people, and the only people that got hair on their head is black people, because everybody else on the planet has fur. That's another thing. You're not really people if you got fur. If you're a person, you have hair. There's only one group of people that have hair on this planet, and that's black people. Everybody else has fur. But that's a whole other situation. I ain't going to go into that.
Again, Brother Polite, you can get his material, 2012stores.com. I believe we have King Simon on the line with us, also opening up one of the people that called in from a block number. If we could keep the background noise down, that would be great, and I'll get the other lines as I get to it. King Simon, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Good to hear from you.
Always a pleasure. What's up, my brother?
That's my brother, man.
I just came coming in from working the trains, man. People are grabbing the flyers like crazy, brother. As it's raining, I'm in the train session, and we talking from Franklin back to Flatbush, back to Franklin, back to Flatbush. That's all I'm doing. I gotta be proud of Queen of Four, and Queen of Four was on Abundance Show, and she promoted that. But Gus and to the whole family, this coming Sunday, March 13th, is going to be a historic event. Not only do you have a young man like this brother Polite, who I'm proud to have been working with for at least a year now, but I'm happy that you know, that this brother was a former gang member. And when I say those things on the train, that's when the young people turn around and look, and they grab flyers, and I tell them what this brother, that they have brilliance in them. They have greatness in them. For a brother like him to speak 7 languages, write 40 books within a year, and also homeschool his children. This just goes to show you that our young people out there can do the impossible when they are, statistically, they're supposed to be dead by a certain age. Statistically, they're supposed to be dead. So I implore everybody out there listening to my voice, I got to pick up one of your people that listened to your show, Gus, that came all the way down for Lester Lovins. I think either Lester Lovins or Dr. Africa's lecture. No, Dr. Africa's lecture he came for. Got to big up him. I forgot his name. But he came all the way from upstate just to come down because he heard us on the Cow Show with Dr. Africa. But this coming Sunday, you've got Queen of Four, another healer. You got Lloyd Strayhorn, one of the top astronumerologist. You got brother African Bambaataa, the pioneer of hip-hop, and now he's going to be speaking on the conscious music and why young people should listen to positive music. And then you got Dave Hanson, the fifth generational descendant of John Hanson, the first black president, according to history, and before reconstructive history. And then, you know, doors open at 1 p.m. It's at the Cultural Performing Arts Center. I don't know if we're going to stream, but if we do stream, we'll probably be on 1000streams.com if we do stream. But, look, you can RSVP by giving us a call. His number, the office number for Polite, is 347-600-7066. And my office number is 347-496-1022. This is a very historic event for a brother to release his 40th book in 1 year. This is, it's not, I think he should be in the world Guinness Book of World Records right now, but it is what it is. But I'm honored to have worked with him and his family. They have been respectful to they call me an elder. I don't know why, but I roll young just like them, but I'm honored to have worked with them for this whole year. And he has climbed the ladder in this lecture field. He's lectured with everybody that I was able to get him on with. And I'm honored that he's doing what he got to do. And believe me, you haven't heard anything yet. He's still got more in him because he's still growing, and that's what I respect, that he's still growing and willing to learn and willing to grow and become the great person that he's going to be when he reaches 30 and 40 years of age. So enough respect to everybody on the Kyle Show. Justice, wherever you are. Pam, what's up? We got to get you out to start speaking, Pam. Stop
right,
playing.
Right.
Pam, she wrote that book, Chosen Horse. She's playing games. You need
to
come out.
Yeah, I can't believe she was online. I couldn't believe it. I said, wow.
How you doing?
I'm great, Pam. I'm great. We wait for you. We wait for you in New York. And Gus and Justice, we need to do a whole thing with y'all. Definitely.
Simon.
Yes, sir.
Since you're on the line, can you
yes.
share with us one of the brothers you spoke to upon giving out flyers for the event? It was something relative to Kmart and his disbelief of, I mean, he was pushing and promoting Kmart in the community.
Oh, yeah. I was on.
Please share that.
I was on the train in Brooklyn, Gus and the whole family, and this brother was coming with a petition on the train. I don't know why he came to me talking about, can you sign and support a Kmart or Walmart coming into our community. That's what he's saying. And I looked at him, and everybody looked like they knew what I was going to say. But I looked at this brother. I said, do you know it is Walmart, businesses like Walmart that have knocked out the small businesses? Do you know that Walmart is owned by Europeans that really don't support you becoming an entrepreneur in your community? but that they want to set up a Walmart to knock out all the small businesses. That means if you tried to open up a business, at least if you would have came to me with a business that you was opening, I would support you 1,000% and have a whole bunch of my network support you 100%, 1,000%. But this brother, he asked me, he said, well, everything is owned by white people. I said, everything is owned. Are you owned by white folks? That's what I asked him. Are you owned by white folks? Then there's a problem. And he said, you know what? I respect that, brother. I said, brother, you got to study the Black Wall Street and what happened when we did control our own stuff. When
that's
they
right.
realized they gave us some land and they thought we wasn't going to do nothing with it, then we flourished beyond belief, beyond white
short
folks
span
capacity.
Of time, man.
They had to
short
come and kill us.
Time.
They had to destroy the city. So everybody was on the train listening to me. And he realized, he even realized, because he was shocked, and then he didn't disrespect me. He didn't say, he said, you know what, I respect what you say. He just respected, shook my hand. And I guess, I don't know what happened after that. I hope he woke up.
but this
is what's happening in our community, Gus. Young people are fighting to raise a Walmart in our community so they can fend for more jobs and all
things
stuff.
To fight for. So this is racism. That's
racism
at its best, because it comes to the personage of a black male. That's racism at its best. That's how they do it. They get to stay home in the office while we perpetuate the racism.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Gus.
And that's what I said again. That's what I said earlier. White people are so slick, and you got to do that when you are the minority on the planet. When it's only 10% of the population is white people, you got to consistently figure out ways so that if the people that you're mistreating do get upset, they will not get upset with you. They'll get upset at another victim that they are also mistreating. So I think we non-white people, we as victims, we really got to be mindful of that. And I think really make every effort, even if it's a non-white person in front of you, you know, it's a white person that is really responsible. That's the person that, you know, we should be trying to deal with.
That's right.
No King problem. Simon, can you give information for contact information again for people if they want to get tickets in advance or they need directions, anything?
Okay, yes. The RSVP list, they can RSVP for their $20 tickets in advance. You know, that means I put you on our list if you can't buy any tickets in advance off the website, which is 2012stores.com. They can RSVP, and I'll put you on RSVP, but don't waste my list. I hate people that call me and don't show up. I don't like that. So the number, once again, for the RSVP list is either 347-496-1022. Once again, 347-496-1022, or you can call Polite's office at 347-600-7066. That's 347-600-7066. Or if you want to order tickets online, that's 2012stores.com. That's Brother Polite's website. We don't have any ticket masters, but we do take the RSVPs, and you just got to be there before at least 2 o'clock. At least before 2 o'clock. Don't stress it and try to come around 4 or 5. That's disrespectful. You know, come early, get there. The event starts at 2 o'clock. The doors open at 1 o'clock sharp. I start getting on that stage. I start promoting and bigging up everybody. I will big up the Cal Show. I'll big up all the blog talks that have supported us. If Polite has a list, because I know he's been on a lot of them, so if you bring out a list, I will shout them all out so they'll know and hear it on the DVD or whatever we're going to put out.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's important. So thank you very much for allowing brother to come on, brother Gus. Justice,
yeah,
I ain't hear you yet since I've been on, so I need to see what's up with Justice. Thank you.
Gymnastics, I told you, gymnastics.
Oh, yeah. She's like my daughter, gymnastics, Lord. They go, I hope they put it into martial arts. You have to incorporate it into martial arts because you learn all them gymnastics and swimming techniques. You need to fight, too. Learn how to fight. These people ain't playing.
I dig that. You said that when you were on last time.
Yes,
I thank you for
yes,
repeating that. And I hope non-white listeners who have parents, if you could say it one more time.
Every child, instead of just putting them into the dance class and into the gymnastic class, let them incorporate all that exercise into also discipline of the martial arts. Every woman and child should learn how to defend themselves in case of emergency. Throw your bottle. I don't care if you're 4 years old or 3 years old, 2 years old. Learn to throw the fruits or learn how to defend yourself. This Dr. John Henry Clark even said that. Dr. Ben says that. Dr. York says it. So we got to learn how to defend ourselves, learn how to fight, learn how to protect ourselves mentally as well as physically. So that's, I'm putting it out there.
King Simon, King Simon, for sure. Thank you again for all the support. Super, super helpful with guests and promoting the program. I appreciate it. Somebody called in from a blocked number. Your line is open. I'm going to get the other people as well. Everybody that called in already, your line is still open. So, you know, if you want to make a comment. But the person that called from a blocked number, did you have a question?
Yes, greetings and good evening to all. I would like to ask Polite, Brother Polite, what does he think about the I would like him to talk about the white supremacy that is expressed on the college level, especially in the curriculum, in the educational college curriculum. Especially with regard to the sciences, how is white supremacy expressed in European science, especially on the college level?
Well, I would like to definitely build on that. I have a book that's coming out because I write a lot of the books that I do come out with. They're for homeschooling purposes, actually. The books that I write. That's why I have chemistry books and math books and language books. When we need something, I write it. So we don't have to go outside. So we can control our information. And all the other books that we do use are written by black authors. Not that you can't learn something from white folks, but black people teaching it, I'd rather learn from them because we're going to come from a black perspective. We understand it better. For instance, if you teach about slavery, it depends. The problem is, who is teaching you about slavery? If a black person speaks about slavery and a white person speaks about slavery, you're supposed to get two different perspectives. Even if someone tells you or controls the perspective, even if someone says that, okay, we want you black man and we want you white man and you black woman and you white woman to speak on the matter of slavery, as it relates to the trauma that the black woman went through, based on your research, you're going to still get two perspectives, even when you try to control the perspective, because one person is white and one person is black. So when your white teacher has Black History Month in Black History class, that's a very unfortunate disposition for the black people that really intend to learn something about themselves, because it shouldn't be taught. It should be illegal for white people to teach black history during Black History Month or any month, teach black history. The perspective isn't accurate. Just not. Just like if I went out there and I did a class on menstruating, it probably fly the first time or two. But you know what people are going to say after a while? Get a woman, because her body goes through it. She's going to come from a different perspective. So as far as the curriculum goes, it is washed up and washed out. I went to a class. This was about 4 years ago at 717 Bushwick. I used to have classes there on Wednesdays. This is in Brooklyn, New York. And I had people who are Harvard, going to Harvard. I had two people going to Harvard. This is a true, true story. I had people that were in the class, my wife, Aminette, that actually we've been together for 14 years now since yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, since yesterday, March 9th. And these people came to class, all right, non-white people. They came to class, and I was talking about Benjamin Banneker, and I said his name was Benjamin Banner. They started disagreeing with me. So I thought they was disagreeing with me because I said his name was Benjamin Banner, not Benjamin Banneker, because I said they whitewashed his name. No, they disagreed with me, and they said, well, this brother you're talking about that you accredit all this almanac science, because, you know, he built the almanac and everything like that, constructed that. This brother that you accredit to all this almanac science and scientific works and everything, he's not a brother, he's white. Why are y'all teaching that? So we said, excuse me? So what happened was 2 weeks later, they came in and showed us a textbook with Benjamin Banneker being white. And we said, how could they pull something off like this? On the ground level, we learn he's black. Then you go to Harvard, you learn that he's white. How can they pull something off like this? This means that black people are definitely asleep.
They're definitely asleep. And there are things that we can do to try to enforce. I'm very serious. This is an actual fact. It was 25.
They actually brought you a textbook.
They brought the textbook. There was
they brought you a textbook.
Tech class. They brought the textbook. In fact, I still should have it scanned because I actually asked them for a copy of that, and they one of them scanned emailed me. They learned that Benjamin Banneker was white. These brothers definitely went to Harvard because they came back and they came to Wednesday class. That's when I first really was starting my teaching for a while. But I wasn't, like, really doing, like, lectures and stuff, but I was having little Wednesday classes at Bushwick Bookstore in Brooklyn. And there was 25 people in class, and we sat there and we looked. Now, some people in class didn't know who Benjamin Banneker was. It was, like, 3 or 4 people didn't know what the argument was about. That was a shame. That happens. But the biggest problem was that we had 2 brothers in class trying to debate me over if he's white or black. And that was a big problem. So I only said that to talk about the college aspect, because it's very, very dangerous when we talk about universities, especially when they don't teach us nothing about the universe. But it's very dangerous when you talk about universities, because just by virtue of the fact they are a college university, we accredit them to having nothing but facts. So if you get taught something in college, and then you talk to this brother with his fit cap backwards, you swear blind that he don't know what he's talking about. Not that I had a fit cap on backwards, but that's just simply to say you're taught a certain way. You're taught to have a certain demeanor when you go to school. Even when we went to high school, we was always taught you don't want to be like those people out there that don't go to college. You don't want to be like those people out there. So you get taught to look at your own people in a derogatory way by white people or European standards. By their criteria alone, you judge your own people. You have no contrast in depiction of your people based on your own ideology and your own perspective of black people as it relates to you being in the black state of mind. No, you judge your own people by other people's criteria, particularly white people's or European criteria. And that's where the danger comes in, because it's bad enough that you get taught about nothing but white people. And this is why I have one of the books that I was actually going to bring up is, did they really create it? Did they really make it? Was they really there? That's one of my upcoming books for the summer that's coming out. Because I have a whole list, because I take requests for books and I write them based on the Sisters of the Homeschooling Group. And then other people, with the homeschooling group, always do first and take the children's and the women's perspective on it, since I help provide for the curriculum as far as the math is concerned, some of the history content. And I'm doing that. And one of the main chapters in that book is about NASA and how much black people are involved with NASA. Because we have a tendency to believe that this thing is just all white people. The world's leading astrophysicist is a black man. If Muslims are really serious about Ramadan, they need to find out what that brother says. No one knows more about the moon than this brother on the planet Earth. He's the world's leading astrophysicist. Pitch black, dark man. These are things that we need to know, because when you get taught things and you're taught that the race associated to all these incredible accolades are white, it breeds an inferiority complex subtly. It's a very slick way to breed an inferiority complex of people. It's one thing when in slavery they say you're dumb, you're stupid, you're the N-word. That was one way. That was one thing. But when you really start bringing in this inferiority complex is when you teach your people about the accolades of everyone else but your own. Eventually, only thing you could associate to your own is being part of some kind of pseudo-scientific black conscious organization, and then you get shot. And that's the only thing that we really have to think about ourselves with. And that's no history for no people. Well, meanwhile, okay, we only got the pseudo-scientific black conscious organization, black power, kill whitey, boom. That's all we got. Then you turn around and you say, on the other hand, we build the rocket ships, we build the boats, we build cars, you know, we're dealing with the greenhouse effect, we're visiting Mars, we're visiting. Oh, yeah, but y'all keep that black power stuff. Yeah, y'all got that. We start thinking we ain't got nothing to do with math and science around the world. It breeds an inferiority complex. So the college university is a very, very powerful weapon of mass destruction. You see, those 50-cent soldiers I was talking about, those bags of chips, we call that food contraband. That was a more common euphemism or term that was used earlier on. We call that food contraband. We call what they're teaching in the college university, we call the black colleges, we call the white colleges weapons of mass destruction. Because you can use the information for the most part, but if you're taught how to misappropriate that information,
through subtle means, it becomes a weapon of mass destruction, because you come back into your community with this inferiority complex, and then this thing filters all in, and it's imbued into other people's minds and psyches, and the next thing you know, you got a whole community feeling like they don't know nothing unless they taught by the white man, and when they get educated by the white man has no education about him, and if he does have education about him, you're going to study Tupac in college. Not there's something wrong with studying Tupac, but if you don't know the world's leading astrophysicist, and you're studying to become a physicist, what the hell are you doing studying Tupac? You see, this is how they do us. We're going to study the life of Tupac. And, oh, consequently, we're going to study Malcolm X next week. Not like you haven't been learning about Malcolm X since first grade. And it's the same information regurgitated. It's just a little more complicated when you go to college, university. So what I'm saying is the colleges of today, what I feel about it personally, it is a weapon of mass destruction. We have to work together as a people to make sure there's a curriculum outside of college. We have to endeavor to educate ourselves outside of getting their degrees. I'm not against people going to school, though I dropped out in 10th grade. I'm not against people going to school. I think that we should go to get certified in things that we can bring back to the community. We don't need no more laundromats in our community. We don't need no more fingernail shops, no more hair shops. Don't need no more chicken spots. Don't need no Chinese food stores. Don't need no more liquor stores. And don't need no more churches. There's something else we can provide in our community outside of those things. And if you go to school to get certified in that for the purposes of bringing it back into the community and teaching the rest of the community so the whole community don't have to go into school and pay all that money, that's very intelligent. If you go to school so you can come out and teach the rest of the community for free or charge your own prices just to teach them whatever you learned at school, powerful stuff. But if you go in there, do it for yourself so I can get my own house, my own car, my own cat, my own dog. You don't realize what is good for your family may not be good for your community. But what is good for your community is always good for your family. Inclusive. That's the reality. So it's a ticking time bomb, man. We got to leave that stuff alone, and let's, our endeavor is to bring that information back to the community that is worthwhile, or at least the paper certification to allow us to empower each other with the knowledge or the services. Other than that, I would say leave the school alone, because a lot of times people go to school, they go to school for things that they can just learn in this information age online. Going down to the library. There's a lot of things you can do now. Graphic and design, people still go to school for that. That's ridiculous. My wife does that. She didn't go to school for that. People went to school for that, could barely get a job working in Kinko's. Don't even do nothing with, after all that information. They teach you what HTML is and XHTML and CSS and all this other stuff, and you learn about all the technical names and definitions, and you still don't know what button to press on the computer. They milk you. It's a waste of our time. You got to stop this. Bring it back. You can't bring it back to the community. It ain't worth going there, leaving the community to get it in the first place.
Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wanted to check Mr. Nero and Non-Mighty Wick. Mr. Nero, Non-Mighty Wick, do either of you two have questions?
No, sir. Thank you. I'm just listening.
Okay. I assume Non-Mighty Wick is just...
Thank you.
All right, on. Okay, the other folks on the switchboard, my board went down. I wasn't able to get the other lines open. My bad. I will attempt to do better. The other individuals that are on the line, did you all have any follow-up questions you wanted to ask? I think all the other people that called in previously, you should your line should still be open. So that would be Pam, King Simon, the gentleman who just called in. I don't know your handle. I feel like he's called in a lot, and I don't know his handle. Non-Mighty Wick, I think someone else as well. But at least your lines are open, so if you have a question, feel free.
Let me ask Polite a question. Polite.
I'm in.
Polite. You know, what my stepson is being deployed to Afghanistan. Right. You know, he was born in the Nuwapian Nation under the Ansar first and then, you know, raised in Nuwapian. But he chose to go into the Air Force and thought he was just going to go under mechanics and probably just stay here. But now that there's war waging in those regions with Libya, because they're definitely setting up against Libya right now more than ever, what would be your suggestion as far as for him? Because he's going, he's owned by the government. It is what it is. Ben knew that. He knew what he was doing. You know, he thought he was just, you know, a lot of these children go in there to make money and go for money and not really going for the seriousness to ever think that they're ever going to go into war or be sent or deployed to these places. What would be your suggestions for them to maintain? Because I'm gonna email him and try to help him to maintain a focused mind. But what would be your suggestion for these young people that are that really didn't go into the military to defend America? They really went into the military for a better quote unquote life, as they say, be all they can be, then get money and to go to school. What would be your suggestion to these young people that are they trying to send over there to fight against fight a war that they definitely probably won't win?
We're talking about the young people before they go in, have a real longer, more elaborate, deeper, profound message for them. But as far as people that already signed up and have to go over there, the only thing that we can do is ask them to pray for themselves and their mentality. Because they have to understand we are in a very sad situation as a people, where you're willing to risk your life to get education. Some people go because they want to go to college and they don't have the money. Mm-hmm. And you'll say that our people desire and crave information so much, we are willing to die. We are willing to fight a war we don't even belong in just to get a college education. That is a very sad thing, and it represents the sad day and time that we live in, where black people are still being used as bargaining chips for white supremacist actions and intent. This is serious, what we're dealing with. This drafting brothers into the war would have been a situation, but the problem is most of us volunteer ourselves to it anyway. And that means that the quality of life has to be horrible for black peoples, because we know we will probably have to go 99 out of 100 people that go into war from the black community did not go there because they're patriotic. And we would have to tell the truth about that. And I know it's a very obtuse statistic. And yeah, I didn't make it up from the top of my head, just based on how I feel. I'll be honest about that. But what I will say is, based on the people that I know, out of 100 people that I know that went to war, and trust me, I know a lot of people that went to war. A lot of people that went to war. Because you know why? Most of them were Bloods and most of them were Crips. And they felt they was going to die on the streets anyway. This is where I get this logic from my own personal experience. This is where I get it from, okay? So the people that I know and I grew up with that joined the force, joined the military, joined the Navy, joined the Army, felt like they had better luck staying alive in Iraq than thinking they could stay on the streets of Brownsville between the police and opposing gangs and a poor education. They felt, hey, going to die anyway. I might wing it over there, keep a limb or two, marry somebody, come back with a car. Cause that's what they do. They come back with their car, and then they try to recruit other black people. They know they're sad. They know there's downfalls and pitfalls. They don't share that with their people. They become leeches. They become vampires. Best thing you can tell that brother is to pray for himself. Because at that point, that white man owns you like a 360 deal, or you get signed to a record label. Whereas even when you get dropped off the label and you start selling T-shirts on the streets, they still got to get a percentage of it because they own your name. That's a 360 deal. Modern day slavery. You go in there and say, I want to make millions of dollars in my rap career. Even when you're done rapping, of course there's no retirement plan. These brothers haven't been properly educated. There's no retirement plan for a rapper. Ain't that crazy? There's no health care for a rapper. There's no retirement plan. I mean, they're very liable to getting hurt because they get pushed and pinned against each other on a day-to-day basis. You mean to tell me they got no health care plan? That'd be one of the first things. If 50 Cent got to drive around a bulletproof car, I would think they would need a health care plan. I guess his health care plan is his bulletproof car and his bulletproof vest. Very sick and ridiculous. So what I'm saying is you got to tell the brother, hold his head, pray that he gets the free time to come out. Pray he doesn't have to kill nobody for white supremacist ambitions and goals. Pray that he can go in there, and what he went in there for, he went in there for money, and pray that he can be maintain his ambition to get that money and do something spiritual with it to balance it out. You don't want to guilt trip the brother and make him feel bad. And, of course, he went in there probably for a lot of material reasons, which isn't bad, and it's understood considering our people in the disposition we find ourselves in. And just you know, tell him, hold his head, don't doubt self. You doubt self, you'd be magnetized to negative circumstances. And tell him, you know, do your thing. And you know what? Hey, I would actually, if it was me, if I had to really be in a line of fire, I would actually research. I told this to another brother. I would actually keep my research on. If it was Pale Arabs I had to get my line of fire on, I would research what part of the slave trade they had a role in it. And if I had to kill them, okay, I'd kill them in a blaze of glory. I'd kill them zealously. If I found myself in the situation, I would have to amp myself up. I would do nothing but research to find out what these Pale Arabs did to us over there so I could justify my senseless murdering and killing. Because that's what it is as a result, because it's not our battle. And it's not our war. We have other wars here. But if I find myself with a gun in my hand and I got to shoot, I'm going to make sure I enjoy it. That's the best thing I can say for the brother.
One more question, brother. There's a friend of mine listening in from Georgia. And she had gotten into an accident, but it affected some of her nerves, dealing with her brains and all that. What herbs or what food you would tell her? I know you're also good at that health stuff and, you know, cured from diabetes, you cured your wife and all that stuff from sickle cell and all that. What herbs would you let her know? Because she's listening right now on the couch, so I told her to listen. What herbs would you tell for her brains and her nerves? What would you suggest?
Well, now I understand the fullest extent of what she's going through, so I'm going to give a pretty general answer based on just herbs they deal with the nerves, because the nerves is pretty much the whole body, you know. Pretty much anything you're going to want with an issue within the body deals with the nerves. If it's affecting the nerves and it's affecting the brain, best thing that I could, and also her being a woman, I would suggest that she mix up mugwort with pan de arca. Right, Pande Akka, with mugwort, or motherwort, as some would say, monkey ladder, capadula, and fa, herb straight out the Congo, which is excellent for the nerves, central nervous system. Most implications of problems you have with the central nervous system normally helps with that detriment to retrograde, and normally helps reverse that. I won't say it's going to reverse her condition. I don't know it in its entirety, but I'm giving a general answer for herbs corresponding to the central nervous system.
Okay.
And brain. I named some brain and central nervous system herbs. That
any particular fruits or vegetables? Any particular fruits or vegetables?
Well, one of the best foods she can eat is cactus.
Cactus.
And, yeah, cactus and kale. Those two
particular
vegetables. Yeah, cactus and kale, she can blend it. She would want to boil or bake the cactus so it's soft enough and then blend it with kale.
Mm.
It will have a distinctive taste. However, it is perfect for blood circulation. It's perfect for the central nervous system, and it's perfect for the lymphatic system. And it will. So you definitely want to deal with that. So that combination, and you put a little cayenne pepper in it.
Okay.
Just a little bit. You put a pinch of cayenne pepper in it. You be straight, and you mix water with it that has pink Himalayan sea salt in it, or red Hawaiian salt. Put that in there. You be good money. You do that. That'll work out. And that's just a general answer, because I don't understand. I don't know the full extent of what's going on, but those herbs pretty much can be accredited to helping a lot of people that had nerve issues that I dealt with in the past. And that's normal. You would get that regardless if I gave you anything else. That's one of the first things I'll talk about. And the beauty about a lot of that stuff, you can actually get it yourself from anybody who sells any type of arrangement of herbs and is, like, serious about it. Not like a serious herb store, but just a conventional herb store. They would generally have those herbs that I just mentioned.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. A lot of people out there, y'all should really get his book on how he got cured of diabetes by Dr. Sabi. His brother is excellent, and I mean, he's also into the health, man, and he's cured diseases just by learning from Dr. Sabi. And then when he got cured, and I'm letting the people know that a lot of us are suffering from various diseases out there, from sickle cell, lupus, and all this. This young brother have done it, have helped his family with it, has helped friends with it. And he's done miracles with just using the herbs and proper eating habits that you have to discipline yourself and focus again. So, brother, hey, thank you for that, man.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, my brother.
You're welcome.
Diabetes running rampant in the community. Diabetes rampant in the community is part of white supremacy, too. Tell me.
50 cent sodas.
That's right.
it's real. I'm telling you.
That's real.
Brother Polite?
Yes.
What's the name? Where can your books be purchased? I think you said 2012 bookstore. I mean,
yeah, it's 2012stores.com, and you can purchase any one of the 30-plus books.
Okay.
I've written the book that Simon was talking about was When I Had Diabetes, and my 13-year-old has some very pertinent information about food and herbs, too, in her book, Our Line of Alkaline Cookbook. Those two particular go into a lot of the health issues. That's my daughter of the mother that has cervical cancer. Their mother has cervical cancer, and I treated her and got that reversed. It was a very scary time in the house. A lot of crying, but she was over it. Inside of the month, cervical cancer.
Okay.
And she talked about it in her book.
Okay, now I did come up with a 20, it's the numbers, 2012 store?
Yeah, 2012 stores. Yeah, plural, stores.com.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Since she mentioned 2012, I did, since we have about 15 minutes left, if you could address, I think you'll be discussing this at the election this Sunday. I think it's part of the white supremacist plan to put a lot of programming out about doom and generating fear around 2012. If you could kind of touch on that and how it kind of leads black people off into distractions and diversions, I think that would be a great way to close out and to promote Sunday's event.
Yes, definitely going to go into it. Well, for Sunday's event, we're going to be talking about the autumnal equinox of 2012, reactivation of the 22-strand DNA, very practical information. Many of us are only extrapolating 3% of the content of our DNA, which corresponds to... which accommodates for 7 to 10% of our ability to access our brain's potential. That's from the 3% of genetic material that we extrapolate from in terms of our DNA. Okay, so many of us are only using 7 to 10% of our brain's potential by way of 3% of the genetic material that we're extrapolating from, which is equal to one strand of DNA, which stands to say the other 22 strands of DNA accommodate for the other 90%+ that we have yet to be using or accessing, which can be accessed through conventional means and very practical, non-expensive, efficient, and effective means. This is what we're going to be going over. And because of the alignments that will transpire, nature will be on our side by way of the prominences or the gases that will be diffused from the sun. Gases do affect us. It affects us day to day. Everything is gases. Everything is gases. Gases would be Jesus, because if before 1565, the letter J would have been the letter G. The E and the A are interchangeable in Semitic languages. Therefore, Jesus would be gases. Some say Jesus is God, and others say God is omnipresent. So if Jesus is God and God is omnipresent, gases are omnipresent. It plays an omnipresent role in affecting your life day to day. Why? Because water is made up of gases. The sun is one big ball of gas. And they say the sun and the water is one of the main things prerequisite to life. You can't have life unless you have sun and you have water. So it stands to say, even if you like salt, you like sugar, and every food that you eat has salt and sugar in it, they have gaseous compositions. So gas plays a pertinent role in our life. Pheromones, gases. These are gases that get secreted from people's bodies that gives the other, the opposite sex, this allure. It allures the opposite sex. These are called pheromones. Black widow spider does it, allures the male spider, has sex with it, and then destroys it or kills it. Nubians also secrete these pheromones. Everybody secretes pheromones. Nubians secrete higher concentrations of pheromones than anybody else. Therefore, they call us the Afro-American. Why? Because a lot of pheromones are secreted anywhere where there's hair. The more hair you have in a particular place or region, the more pheromones or gases that are secreted. So they call you an Afro-American at one point, which is pretty legitimized with the American part. You know, we have to investigate that part. But the Afro part was definitely by even identifying us by that, by law, by nature, by species, because Afro, prefix, like, as in Aphrodite, which is the Greek goddess of love, right, as in aphrodisiac, sexual stimulant, as in having kinky hair, which means the hug. always has some kind of sexual connotation because a lot of pheromones are secreted from there, and it is responsible for the allure. They even take these human pheromones and put them into perfumes or colognes. They call it obsession. This is true. They actually take human pheromones, which gives off gas, which entices or allures or incapacitates another person depending on in what quantity your pheromones are secreted. Okay, so we're talking about that on a human level. Now when we deal with the winter solstice and the autumnal equinox, there will be a number of gases that will be diffused into the Earth's atmosphere, which will affect the psyches of the people as it comes down. We're not talking some instantaneous, spontaneous, spooky stuff. Crackheads all of a sudden going to become very smart. Chickenheads all of a sudden going to be the most literate on the planet. We're not talking that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, the gases will affect people conscious in the way they behave. In fact, it's happening now. Some of this can be accredited to a lot of the weird and irrational behavior that we see in all the races participate in around the planet. Nonetheless, when we talk about it, we're also going to be dispelling some of the myths around the 2012 concept or paradigm, the accepted science on conscious shift or dimensional shift, because there's a lot of scare tactics that are being used that make the government the benefactors of those people that are fear-stricken about this experience, because it takes us off course in terms of dealing with political, social, educational, and economical issues in our community. We had the problems with us fighting amongst each other over who's Democrat and who's Republican, fighting amongst each other over who's Jamaican, who's Asian, who's Haitian, who makes the best roti, who has the best music. We come out of that. Who's Christian, who's Muslim, who's Jew? You're a Christian. Are you Protestant? Are you Baptist? Are you Seventh-day Adventist? You're a Jew? Are you Black Jew? Are you White Jew? Okay, boom. Muslim? Are you Shiite, Ahmadiyya, Sunni, 5%er, Nation of Islam? Which one are you? Are you a 5%er that is a Democrat, that is from Barbados? This stuff just don't stop. So now you got to also worry about 2012 on your head, and if the planet's going to end and everything's going to blow up, should you just throw all your ambition, your love, and your support out the window and just prepare to explode? These are questions that we have to address. We have to dispel a lot of these myths and tell people, continue to fight for your people's liberation and your mental freedom. There is a lot of reality to the 2012 paradigm. Unfortunately, a lot of the realities that I'm talking about have yet to been revealed or expressed to the community, because they're using this information as a means to manipulate the masses in an endeavor to stagnate us again as a whole. That's why when you read Willie Lynch speech of 1712 that took place on the Jamestown River, they said they wanted to employ this methodology of brainwashing or conditioning or brain dirtying, I should say, for at least a period of 300 years. And I don't think it's a coincidence that if you add the 300 to 1712, you get 2012. There's a reason for it, behind it, whether people accept or identify with the ideology. But the truth be told is they are using this 2012 paradigm as a means to stagnate the community as a whole as they anxiously anticipate the New World Order, extraterrestrials, and also planetary explosions, pole shifts, and things of that nature. And that we can't have in our community because we're already too far behind as it is in our liberation movement. Than to drop the whole liberation movement and start packing cans and waters in the fridge and everything like that. I think that's just going a little too far. We're not in a good position to do that. We should start preparing for our world ending now, as it will, if we don't take heed to this white supremacy. So we're going to go over a number of different things. We're bringing an aura machine out that day because we're going to show how negative music and positive music contorts or distorts the aura. We're going to show how the aura changes color when it's subject to negative impressions and positive impressions. We're going to go over a number of things that day with that aura machine as well to bring reality to the people. Say, look, the aura is real and it changes colors. Now we got to find out what colors it changes when you're subject to negativity, what colors it changes when you're subject to positivity. Then we're going to realize what we need in our life to maintain that positivity. And once we realize that your aura is an EM field and it's also a magnet, then we can realize that we'll be magnetized to positive people, positive places, and positive things if we're in a positive state of mind. If we are in a negative state of mind because we subject ourselves to negative music, negative people, and negative things, we'll be magnetized to negative persons, negative places, and negative things. So we're going to make a very simple and very practical lecture for everybody so they can walk in and walk out with the metaphysical mind and practical sense and know-how. That's what we're going to be doing.
And again, that is Sunday, March 13th, Brooklyn, New York. 25 at the door, 20 in advance. Man, should be a fantastic event. And I even get the brand new book, 40th book release. Is that correct? 40th book release?
That's right, 40th book release.
Wow. This Sunday, if you're in the area, I think it would be a constructive investment of your time to check it out. Brother Polite, always a privilege to have you as a guest on the program.
Thank you, brother. They love you, man. They've been listening to you since the first time you've been about the show. You like the baby. They love you.
Wow. Yeah, I spoke with your wife several times. She was super helpful in getting the program together.
Yeah,
we have to have the your children on the program.
Because they love the show too, man.
Yeah, we have to do that. I think Justice, she would get a kick out of hearing some people that are her age. Yeah, we got to make that happen.
Yeah, my children go in. They love it.
As a matter of fact, we should produce a lecture with all of y'all together.
That would be so hot.
Gus, Justice, and Politeness Children. We go ahead and do what we got to do.
That's what it's about,
wow,
man.
Wow. I'm down. I would love to come back to New York.
Wow, that'd be nice. You guys set that up.
Yes, sir.
Man.
We'll make it happen.
For sure.
We got it perfect.
I want to make sure I get Justice's email address in since she's not here, but she'll be back next program. The email address, justice.asap@yahoo.com. Again, justice.asap@yahoo.com. And her web address, justdojusticetoday.blogspot.com. Again, justdojusticetoday.blogspot.com, and she will be back. I think we'll be back tomorrow, but she'll be back for the next program. No worries. We have looks like about 2 minutes left in the broadcast. If you want to share anything before we close out, or if any of the folks online have a quick question, you have about 2 minutes left to get anything in.
I just want to say thanks again. Really appreciate it. The family loves and appreciates doing, and we'll be devout listeners of the opportunity that we get. Thank you again for the platform. Thank you for your sensibility, your practicality. Thank you for pushing forward, and thank you for reminding those of us that vibrate on this frequency. Thanks for giving us an abode to resonate on, whereas we know that we are not going crazy, and we realize that everybody else is. I'd really like to thank you for that, because we do need to talk to those of our family that do as we do, like we do. Otherwise, we will lose our minds.
Agreed.
Thank you very much, Gus. Thank you very much for allowing me. Anytime, brother, let me know.
For sure, I will be in touch, and I believe Mr. Delbert Blair, several of the guests have said they were interested in having him on the program, and I know you're going to be doing an event with him coming up, I believe, in April. So I will try to coordinate that so that it'll be in time to promote what you all are doing. So that should be coming soon.
Yes, sir. Doug Shaby is coming in June, so I'll let you know that, too. So we'll
For sure. I know a lot of folks out there who listen. They are fans of his work as well. So that'd be great to get him, have him on the program too. Things to look forward to.
All right.
For sure. And Pam, did you have anything, Pam, you wanted to get in quickly?
Nothing really, other than I wish I could go to New York so I could be there. Yeah, maybe one day. But I did want to just make a real quick announcement. Our book, you know, we just submitted to the printers, and so we should have a copy in hand in 2 weeks for sale. So So just keep your eye out for the second book. Yeah. And hopefully maybe I'll make enough from it that I can buy a ticket to New York. So, you know.
Cam, all you have to do is speak in New York and we'll get you out here. That's it. So stop playing.
You said stop playing.
That's it. That's our motto here in New York. Stop playing.
Okay, I'll work on it.
So I got to get your email again. What's your email there?
Okay, the email is
info.
At Trojan Horse, the number one. Trojan Horse. Trojan, T-R-O-J-A-N, Horse, H-O-R-S-E, and then the number one. So it's TrojanHorse1.com.
Gotcha. I'll send you an email and we can talk about it.
All right.
No problem. Okay.